Blog Talk Radio.
Listen, condoms are only for homosexuals and sailors. No one's wrapping anything up here. We like it raw, okay?
I'm done.
Listen, tip your waitress, try the veal. I'm here all week. Keep going.
That boy.
We did get him. So,
oh, my God. Hello?
Hi. Is this Tony Mamaluke?
I hope so.
I hope so as well.
Oh, my God. Wow, I've been in easier fist fights.
Hey, guys, this is Salamander Jones, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio!
I wonder that myself. He pops up on Twitter every now and then, but he's usually just talking about drinking some type of Pilsner, so I'm not sure exactly where he's coming from.
All right, good evening. The 33rd wonderful spellbinding edition of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am your host, the Dean of Credibility, Double D, and you can find me at Folsom County on the Twitter. Joining me, as always, he is the most loyal man in the biz, as they like to say, B-I-Z. It's none other than Dan, the above-average comedian, Dan the Man Law.
Yo, people, you find me at Twitter, at DanLaw83.
Join us later will be none other than Omega Squad. You can find him at Omega Squad on Twitter. Are you there, Dan?
Yeah.
Okay. You bumped out on me for a second.
I hit the mute button so you couldn't hear me chewing on a Tic Tac.
Well, there you go.
Hey, everybody, I'm chewing on a Tic Tac.
But the thing is, Omega will be here to join us and talk about UFC 153.
Which I've been hearing a lot about, so I'm interested to hear about this.
Have you? What have you heard about it, Dan? Just coming from a outside observer to the world of MMA.
And I won't break it until later, that the result of the fight was, I saw one post to say that the other guy shouldn't even shown up.
Well, Stephen Bonner could have, Anderson Silva is on a level that most fighters can never hope to get to.
And you've said that before, that it's just sometimes there's no comparison.
It really is. And at this point, Anderson Silva should only be doing title fights or super fights, but we'll get into more.
Or if anybody wants to commit suicide.
Yeah, just get in the ring with him.
Just say, you know what, I want to die. Punch me.
Did I say ring? I meant cage.
Okay, don't.
Yeah, I'm
not going to get in trouble.
I meant cage. So, you can also subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search for Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. We are proudly part of the BradyHicks.com. We are there right now, streaming worldwide.
Or as Robert Knight calls in my favorite new nickname, Brady Bunch.
Yeah, Brady Bunch. That is what he definitely does call
and,
him.
You know, it fits him.
It does. He's a bunch of, well, we'll get into that
He's
later.
A bunch.
Now, you can follow on Twitter. That's at HIAC Talk Radio. And like the Facebook, that's at facebook.com/sellinahell. If you want to call in and ask any of our guests tonight, we will. I'll get into that in a second. But the call-in number is 718-664-9133. Now, joining us first will be none other than Joe Gacy. He's, of course, a CZW veteran at this point. He also is part of Sideshow Pro. We're going to talk to him about Sideshow Pro. It's coming up this Saturday from Starbound Gymnastics. That's in Bridgeton, New Jersey. And we're going to talk about, he has a big match, Dan, against Ophidian.
Oh, man. Why is he not calling in?
Ophidian?
Yeah.
I haven't reached out to Ophidian in a while. I think he's still
traveling
through time, as they say.
Well, you know, stop by. Put your pastor or your ass on the show.
Hopefully I'll see him coming up this Saturday. And now,
read some flyers.
Yes. Drew Blood will also be joining us. Now, he was formerly of CZW. He's now part of DWF and a lot of other different promotions as well. I believe there's a promotion in Connecticut that he's part of as well. I want to talk to him about his injury that he suffered during the best 2009. Dan, your feelings on that injury?
Nausea.
Yeah.
And I heard of this injury, and I did not see the footage until you showed me last week. And it is nauseous. It's nausea-inducing. It's just the thick thud of a man's skull slamming onto a concrete floor. It's just not a thought you like to go to sleep with at night. Good night. I'm going to go watch this video, and I'm going to go to sleep.
I think probably the worst thing of that video is hearing that smack.
Yeah, that's what I see. I can look at the blood, and I can look at any of that, no problem. It's the sound of his head hitting the ground. It just
Yes. I have to agree with that. Now, you all right?
Yeah, just thinking of it.
Had a moment there, huh?
And
joining us later on will be indie veteran Missy Sampson. If you go to any independent shows in the Philadelphia suburban area, chances are you bump into her at one time or another because she is she's everywhere, Dan.
She shows up everywhere even if they don't book her.
That's true. But we're going to talk to her. She's actually the heavyweight champion. I don't know if you know this, Dan, but she is the heavyweight champion of WPW out in Reading.
No, I did not know that.
She just had a hardcore match on the 15th of September. We're going to talk to her about that. And, of course, she's entered in Pro Wrestling Syndicate's Blow promotion. That's an all-women's promotion. She made it through to the second round for their inaugural title tournament.
Yeah, I mean the company is getting a lot of people looking at it, specifically for the title, the company, which I think is a great idea.
That is a great idea. It gets people talking. Now, Sideshow Pro, I talked about it very briefly. There's four important matches. One of those four important matches is, of course, our guest coming up right now. He will be taking on Ophidian. After his music, we'll get him right on.
One day, he bought a guitar. He moved to Hollywood to become a star. Living on the farm, he knew nothing of the city. Built his house out of straw, what a pity. Then one day, jamming on some core, along came the wolf, knocking on his door.
It certainly is classic. Joe, you're talking with Dean, you're talking with Dan. Welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio, your return appearance here, sir.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me once again.
I'm looking forward to this. Now, of course, we're starting off. Sideshow Pro is coming up this Saturday,
yep.
coming from Bridgeton, New Jersey. Now, you're involved in one of the four important matches, and we'll talk about the other three. But you're one of the four important
yep.
matches, you against Ophidian. Now, what's your thoughts going into that? He's very unorthodox, of course.
Well, he is, but you and I'm sure a lot of the rest of the world know by now, we are no stranger to each other. We've been in the ring a few times, mostly tag matches, which is, of course, where that viral video came from about a year or two ago. But I mean, you know, we've done some stuff before, so we'll see how it goes when we're actually doing it single style.
Yeah, because it's interesting you bring that up because you and Ryan Slater, the Runaways, wrestled the Ophidian or the Portal, and
yeah.
of course, that's how many views on 3 million views now on YouTube?
It was like 3 million on YouTube alone. It was taken down though. Some other people have put some other ones up. That was that one website alone, and I don't know how much of this people know about, but it got spread around. It was on TV a few times, and that was an interesting time.
Yeah, it was on True TV. They had some type of Best of the Web series or something like that. But
mm-hmm.
A whole other audience was somehow the other three matches the important matches. Now, off the top of my head, I can't remember them. And just refresh my memory as far as these important matches that you got coming up there.
Sure, you got Alex Payne taking on the debuting Ty Hagen. Then there is Niles Young versus Johnny Calzone, and there is also Ryan Slater versus John Dahmer.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit about that match with Niles Young taking on the pizza guy, mm-hmm. Johnny Calzone. Now, this would seem that, you guys don't have a championship yet. Are you guys getting to that stage yet to have a championship for Sideshow?
Well, these matches could be for that reason. They are important, quote unquote, so to speak. I will say that everyone will find out why they are important this Saturday at the show.
Okay, now another thing that I want to bring up, Johnny Clydesdale.
Mm-hmm.
What is his role coming into this? Because he just showed up out of nowhere the last show.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with Johnny Clydesdale?
He's more or less the guy kind of managing everything, I guess you could say. He's kind of, overseeing the company. I guess you could say general manager, if you will, even though that's kind of a term used a lot nowadays. He's I guess the authority, the one that's you have to answer to, I guess.
Now, you've had three or four shows, Sideshow Pro, so far?
Two shows. This will be the third one coming
up.
This
will be the third.
Yeah.
How, little backstage stuff, how's it going? Are you happy with the attendance? Are you happy with how it's going so far? Anything you'd like to change?
Absolutely. As far as attendance and, just everything backstage-wise, everything's great. I couldn't really ask for that to be any better. The first two shows were actually, we anticipated less than we got, so to have more than you expect to show up to the show was a good thing. We hope we can continue that with this next show coming up. Change-wise, the only thing that I wish we could change at this point is we are actually trying to locate a new venue.
I was about to ask that. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, we're kind of stuck there for now. But we are trying to find somewhere new to go. So.
Are you gonna just stay in Jersey and work your way outward, or just kind of stay in Jersey for now?
Probably. We're probably gonna try to stay in Jersey at least for a while, so we can try to build up a fan base more than. Because if we leave from here and go to, say, Pennsylvania, I'm sure nobody out there has any idea what Sideshow Pro is.
Well, they do if they listen to us.
Well, I hope they do now, anyway.
I have a question, because we interviewed Ophidian once, and he seems like a you'll probably understand the way I mean this. Anybody in the wrestling business is not normal.
Okay.
But you're wrestling somebody like Ophidian. Do you enter the match any differently, or do you treat it like another guy, another wrestling match?
You really got to come to a point where you kind of have to. You can treat it differently, but if you do that, then it might not work out for you so well, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You kind of got to treat it like everybody else. You got to just go in there and do your thing.
All right, Dan and I were having some things there, but what
the sign language and the hands waving around.
Exactly. Now, the one thing I did want to bring up is CZW.
Okay.
At the Tangled Web show, you came out, and actually it was a backstage vignette.
Mm-hmm.
You went up to DJ and said, "I want a shot. I've proved myself here."
Yep.
So then, that wound up becoming a Fans Bring the Weapons match at Redemption on September 22nd. Now, what is that experience like, Fans Bringing? Then this wasn't your first experience with that. We'll talk about the Ryan Slater Fans Bring the Weapons, too. But what's that experience like, getting into a match like that?
Well, the experience is, this Fans Bring the Weapons was actually my third Fans Bring the Weapons match. The first time I ever did it, it was a little, what's the word? I can never think of these words when I'm on here. I guess a little intimidating, because you could show up to the show and not have any idea what these, CZW fans are going to decide to bring to the show for you to use on each other. So you show up and just see this pile of weapons that these crazy fans decided to construct, and you kind of, just grab what you can and hit the other person with it.
You ever get, you said, for educate us of those who've never seen this match, and I'm unfortunately one of them, I'm sorry, you can hit me later.
That's all right.
You ever get really nervous, you're going to pick up something you probably shouldn't have, and not pay attention, and nail the other person with it? And what's the craziest thing you've been handed by a fan?
The first part of your question, you're going in expecting what it is, so I guess there's no really. I mean, if it's out there, you use it, I guess, is the best way to say it. The second part of the question, craziest thing, I would have to say may have been... You know what, I can't say that I actually used the craziest thing somebody's given me, but actually the match with Masada, I showed up and the security decided to just throw the thing out, I guess, because they didn't want anyone obviously dying. Some fan created this surfboard or a boogie board, and underneath the boogie board they put just straight razors all along the thing.
Good God.
Yeah, I don't know what that person was thinking with that, but
I want you to die.
Pretty much.
That is something. How did he cross the border from Pennsylvania to Delaware to use that? That's one question I'd like to know. But
I don't know.
Now, did you train at the CZW Academy?
I did originally, yes. Back in 2006, I believe I started. I'm sorry, good.
I was just going to ask, was that under DJ Hyde at the time, or who were the trainers?
At the time, it was mostly John Dahmer, actually. Mostly him. About maybe a couple months in, it turned into being Dahmer and DJ. Also at the time, DJ was bringing in some guys for, like, camps and seminars. Camps and seminars. So I got actually some good training time with some other kind of known guys, which was cool.
Now, what is that experience like? We've had several people on. We've had King Blackie, Ty Reno. I've spoken personally with Johnny Hated, a lot of people in the business. Mm-hmm. What is that experience like training under the CZW Academy?
You know, I have to say, I've been to almost every school in the area with the exception of the ROH school, which is a school I would like to visit one day. But I've been to every other school in the area, and with the exception of maybe two schools that I've been to, the CZW Academy is one of the best schools I've ever been to. And not personally saying just because I've been there, but just what I know about the business and what I've learned, it's just one of the only places that I still think teaches young people the right way. There's other good schools around. Like, I'd say the Chikara school's awesome. I've never been to ROH, but you can obviously see the talent that comes out of there.
Yeah.
So, like, I'd say those schools right there are your top three. Just CZW is just, like, even now, like, because I still go there sometimes, just the lessons they teach the students and just the things they make them do, it's just how wrestling should be, in my opinion.
Okay. So like a completely different type of, what's the word, training. Because I what I always hear from everybody, whether they had a good experience, a bad experience, neutral, whatever, is that it teaches you respect for this business.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Is there? I ask several wrestlers this question, and I'll ask you as well.
Okay.
Is there any day that you don't learn something new, or are you constantly learning even to this day?
Every day I step into a wrestling ring, I'm learning something. You never stop learning. It was actually I listened to a Ric Flair shoot one time, and he himself, being as old as he is, and in the business as long as he has been, he says that he still learns something new, like, every day.
Wow.
Okay, now, another question I have. You were there before DJ Hyde actually owned the business. You were there under Zandig.
Yep.
When you first came in. Mm-hmm. What's the differences between Zandig and DJ Hyde as far as how things are run, how things are different, I guess, is the question.
Well, there's good and bads with, you know, either guy owning the company. I'd say the huge differences was originally Zandig was mainly, I mean, at the time when Zandig was in charge, the company was a mainly deathmatch company, you know, predominantly known across the world with Tournament of Death and Cage of Death, mm-hmm. And all their deathmatch guys like Nick Gage and like Wifebeater and guys like that. And then when DJ took over, he slowly started molding the company into a different direction, which, I mean, some fans liked it, some fans didn't. I mean, he obviously still does the death matches because CZW obviously is CZW, so you kind of can't have the fan base without it. But I think he's kind of molding it into a lot more like a wrestling aspect rather than focusing on just the death match aspect.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, Zandig did also do that back in the day, but still you're kind of like main event talent at the time were like, you know, deathmatch guys and deathmatches when DJ's now in charge and really there's a deathmatch maybe on every other show besides your, like, Tournament of Deaths and stuff like that.
And, of course, at the Skate Zone, things are toned down a little bit, so
yeah.
when you need those matches, you kind of have to go to DJ's Farm in mm-hmm. Delaware.
Yep.
So what's the difference between, like, the Voorhees show and that DJ's Farm? I mean, is it a different type of fan coming? I mean, just, like, all the differences.
Yeah, I would say so. The Jersey shows have kind of, like, your one fan base. I guess your standalone, every show, loyal fan base. And the farm shows or the Delaware shows, you got some of them fans coming to see the show, but then you got your deathmatch fans that kind of come just to see the blood, but then you also have maybe local residents that kind of want to just come out and see what this is about because some of them don't even know that wrestling runs out there, so they'll hear about it and kind of come check it out. So, I mean, you can definitely tell the different fan bases at either show.
Okay. That was always one thing, like the differences that I always wanted to know. Now, getting back to Sideshow Pro, of course, it's coming up this Saturday.
Yep.
We have a 7:30 bell time. That's Starbound Gymnastics, 447 Landis Avenue, Bridgeton, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets are only $10, right?
Yep. Tickets are only $10.
And there's meet and greet story and intermission. It's a really good experience if you're a fan. I go ahead and check it out because it's one of those. And it's really. Like, the whole idea of Sideshow Pro, like, if you could sum up Sideshow Pro for someone who hasn't seen it, just give me a little brief something about Sideshow Pro.
Well, I'd say if you like characters, if you enjoy family entertainment, and if you enjoy some comedy as well as with some good wrestling, some old school style wrestling, then that would definitely be the place to be.
All right, so that's Saturday, like I said, 7:30 bell, Starbound Gymnastics. Now, where can people follow you if they want to catch up with your career, see what's going on, a day in the life of Joe Gacy, if it is?
Well, you can go to my Facebook. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, at Joe Gacy. I recently just created a YouTube page. I'm not really sure how to search me on there yet. I guess you could probably find me under Joe Gacy.
Okay.
That and also Sideshow Pro actually now has a website too. It's just sideshowpro.com.
And you can get a wallpaper there for your desktop. My wallpaper right now is Xerox, a door-to-door luchador. So, yes, I'm one of the few, one of the many, legions, I guess I should
good
say.
Good save.
Yes, that has downloaded that and has that on their desktop. So,
wait, how do you get a desktop? Oh, sweet!
Oh, yeah, you can, there you go. But,
man.
Yeah, it is. Xerox, what's Xerox doing this Saturday?
He is in a tag match, Tim and Nick Arcade taking on Steel Dragon.
I think that's my new favorite wrestler.
Xerox adored it. Let me tell you.
Derek Fender.
And if you haven't seen Xerox, you're in for a treat. Nick Arcade, that's another treat as well.
It's $10, folks. $10!
Yeah, I mean, and Cluck Norris may be making his return. You never know.
$10!
Yeah, so Sideshow Pro, I love the concept. Much success, Joe. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
I guess you kind of covered everything. It's this Saturday, $10, sideshowpro.com. Definitely come check it out. It's going to be a hootin' time. There's going to be a few debuts on this show as well. So definitely don't want to miss that.
Yeah, definitely Ty Hagen. He's another former CZW talent that's making his way to Sideshow. So,
yes, sir.
Former tag team partner of Adam Cole, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Yeah,
we're
so,
in business together.
$10.
Did you have Don West or something?
Well, you know, you can't afford it. It's $10. You bring two people and bring a 20. That's what the ATM spits out.
That's right. The ATM spits out $20. Boom, you're there. You got. Take a day.
You don't need gas, you walk.
That's right. That's right.
You bastard.
That's right. So, Joe, you have a wonderful night. Like I said, much success with Sideshow Pro. Wait, one last thing. I'm sorry.
No problem.
CZW. What's coming up for you in CZW?
Well, I'm not sure if it's announced or if it's actually made, but the last show there was talk in the locker room of me getting another title shot at Masada at the next show.
Ooh.
I'm not sure if that's confirmed, but that's
there's
what
talk.
I heard.
There's talk right now. Okay.
Yes.
Might not be signed, but it is in the planning stages.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
So I'm
Joe, you have a So Joe, you have a great night.
All right.
And I'll see you on Saturday.
Awesome. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, no problem. You have a good night, sir.
Thanks. You too. Have a good one.
Okay, Dan. So that
was music and wrestling.
Yeah, he does. You know what? It's worth another shot, Dan.
Rock it.
One day, he bought a guitar. He moved to Hollywood to become a star. But living on the farm, he knew nothing of the city. Built his house out of straw, what a pity. Then one day, jamming on some core, along came the wolf, knocking on his door.
Oh, boy. So there you go. That was Joe Gacy, Dan.
Thank you, Dean.
I'm just making sure that we're on the same
page. I am so pissed that I'm going to miss his match against Ophidian, dude.
Like I said, four important matches. This has been coming since July, I think it was.
Yeah.
So the return of Sideshow Pro, it happens this weekend.
Derp to derp.
That's right. Xerox, the door-to-door luchador. Let me tell you, while he's wrestling, Dan, he's such a busy man. If he gets a phone call, a sales call, he'll take it in the ring.
Oh, that's, you know, business is business. And business, you cannot stop business for anybody.
You can't.
You can't. You ask any wrestling booker.
That's for sure. What comes first? What comes first? The business.
The business comes first.
The sales business. At least I didn't become Don West like you did.
It's $10! I don't really have a Don West. I just have to eat a chicken. And
isn't that your Andy Reid as well?
No, that's a cheesesteak. Hey, I'm so hungry. I fired him.
So, Dan, last week we had a special episode where we were with these guys.
Oh, no.
Are you bored? Do you need some entertainment? Well, I suggest you check out the Dream Wars Horrorcast. Isn't that right, baby?
You're going to miss a good show tonight. That's your tough luck. I thought you kids were all about team spirit.
Not only are we going to give you an entertaining show, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
I'm going to give you to the count of 10 to get your ugly, yellow, no-good keister off my property.
Kill me.
Before I pump your guts full of lead.
Find them on iTunes, Facebook, or podcast.
Jesus Christ.
At Dream Wars Horrorcast. Or on
Where
Twitter.
Is?
At Dream Wars or Dark.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
So, that is the Dream Warriors Horrorcast. You can find them on Podbean.
You know, they're good guys. We had a ball. They're very good on the mic, but holy crap.
Yeah, they kind of need to fix this part.
Are you bored? Do you need some entertainment?
They have to fix that part of it.
No, they had to fit. No. No. I want a new. On air, I demanded a new commercial, and son of a gun, I'm going to get it.
I certainly hope so. Now, Dan, of course, we were talking about Drew Blood and that horrific injury, I'd say.
Holy Nikes.
Now, he was poised at that time in his career to really set the independent scene on fire. He, of course, that happened at CZW's Best of the Best in 2009. What happened, he was going for a suicide dive. Yeah, planche over the top rope, and his feet got caught. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but smacked his head, and like we were saying when we first opened up the show, really the thing that I take away from that is just how lucky he really is to come back from that.
I mean, the impact on the force that I'm speechless. I can't even talk. I mean, he drops. He just, it was nobody's fault. It botched the move and he just went down. And the fact that he's walking.
And back. He is
and
back.
And back in the ring. But the fact that he walked again is, like, mind-blowing. I mean, it's a – no exaggeration, folks. I will post the link on the Twitter page. It's a thud.
It certainly is. And like we've been saying, it's really amazing that he has come back. And he's now part of DWF. That's Doc Diamond's Devastation Wrestling Federation.
They have a great announcer here.
Yeah, yeah. There were actually three of us, four of us. Interesting. I'll talk about that a little bit later on, but a great show. He was involved in a five-way match just this past Saturday at Doc Diamond's, 35th year anniversary in the business. It was also called Monster Mash. He was involved in a five-way, though, with Xavier Cross, with King Blackie, with Mark Angel, and I'm going to get in trouble because Owen O'Neill. So a lot of action going on. And King Blackie was the winner, but Drew Blood, of course, of highly entertaining wrestlers there in DWF. Just it was an amazing spectacle. And I know you really can't comment on it, but...
No, the fact that he's getting that kind of a review of a match after that injury, I mean, I don't want to harp on that, but there's a lot of guys that would not be back in the business after something like that. Plain and simple.
Well, we were talking briefly at the show, and he was saying, you know, during making this comeback, and we'll get into it with him as well, but during this comeback, there were times that he's a little, cautious?
Fussy? Oh, gotcha.
Where he
hesitation.
Now, at a different show, at a UWF show, I saw him do a dive from the top rope to the outside on, it was King Blackie and Tyrino, the Gunners. And I said to him, I said, you did that move. What was going through your mind there? And we'll get the answer here tonight, Dan. If you're there with me.
I'm here.
Okay.
You're leading this puppy. Let's go.
Well, when you mute like that, it throws me off. But what I'll do, I'll play his music. Enough talking about him. It's time to talk
with
him.
Bring him on, Gene. Jeez. It's honest, Dan.
All right. Welcome to the show. You're talking with Dean and Dan. Welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. How are you doing tonight, Drew?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right. First question, it's a basic one. Where did you start this career of yours? Where did you train? How did you break in?
A little funny story. It's actually a weird story how I broke into this business. I was in a bowling league with a referee named Mike Walker, and he introduced me to Sienna Duvall's husband Slayer.
Okay.
So I found out that there was a school around the corner from the ECW arena. At the time, it was the ECW arena because it's, we're talking back, well, it's still Viking Hall, I guess, about 2000, 2001. Actually, it's late 99, early 2000. And this little garage with a boxing ring in it. And Slayer introduced me to this guy, Tony Nitro, and his tag team partner, DJ Danzar. They're known as Puerto Rican SWAT team. And that's where I started to train. And that's where I continuously got my butt whipped every day, took the bus home, sore, and couldn't sleep. But I came back every day. Still went to college, but slowly but surely, I start missing classes and was headed to the school more often than I was school, and then I was to college.
Now,
that pretty much writes it.
Now, what were your first few years like in the business? You said this was like 99, 2000, so were you immediately part of CCW, or were there...
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay.
I did some small feds. At a store off, usually that's what happens, so... it was like, you know, like any other person would get their start, you know, your trainers would get you booked in places that, you know, I have no idea, like places I had never even heard of, like Altoona, Pennsylvania and stuff like that, pretty much for no money, you know, just, you know, carry their bags and sometimes only get on a show and, or, you know, just, you know, they bring me in with them and they kick my butt for 15 minutes and I ride back in the car with them and sometimes I have to get a hotel, you know.
Yeah.
It was actually kind of rough. It was actually kind of rough when I first got in. I always say, I think I'm like me and Devin Moore and my buddy Steve Hayden, who's no longer in the business. We're the last three to pretty much, in my opinion, get trained old school style. Because I trained with Joker and Sabian as well.
Okay. Now, when did the call finally happen to that you're part of CZW at this point?
Well, I would say around 2003, 2004, I started working for Off of the Wild Samoan.
Okay, WXW up in Allentown?
WXW in Allentown, yeah. And for some reason, they love me and Devin up there, you know, they did a lot for us. You know, we would they would send us up to WWE, like, you know, they would never use us, but we'd be in the locker rooms during, like, you know, Monday Night Raw and stuff like that, just, you know, how they usually call local talents up. But I start working for PW. I worked for PW for a long time, and things weren't working out in PW in late 2007, 2008. Me and Teddy Fine were actually tag team champions at the time. We lost the belts, and I wasn't happy with my situation at PW, and the call finally arose to come to CZW. It was actually at 9 effing years.
Wow.
And it was actually when they were filming The Wrestler.
Oh, okay. I thought, for some reason, I assumed that you were part of CZW for a much longer time. So when did you finally get there?
Probably around 2007.
Okay. Now, was the tag team...
It took me a while. I tried to get in with Joker and Sabian, but they were going to the school a lot more. They were going to CZW school a lot, and they earned their stripes the respectable way, I guess.
Okay.
By going to school and start getting booked. I really didn't follow that plan. It took me a little bit longer.
I got you. Now, were you and Devin Moore on the indie scene together as that tag team, or did that happen after? Okay. Well, explain that tag team.
We were on the indie scene. Me and him were, God, better part of 10 years been traveling together all over the place, wrestling each other. There was actually 1 year where it was me and him in a three-way for 5 months straight with just random wrestlers. No, it was him versus somebody else, and, like, it was just every show. Like, it was to a point where, like, the other guy was getting left out because me and Devin were just going at it with each other and just knew what was going on, you know what I mean? But we started tagging. We were start working up a lot in New York for ICW. And that was even before PW, too. And then the guy, Jack Savage, he grew a legend to us. We were always up in New York and New Jersey area a lot, doing, like, the Jersey J Cups and stuff like that.
Okay. Okay. Now, you're in CZW for a while. what are some of your accomplishments with CZW?
My most notable accomplishments, obviously, the winning the Junior Heavyweight Champion off the Egotistical Fantastico.
Okay.
Like, I earned that credibility because at the time Zandig was running it, and I believe he had Chuck Taylor as the champion at one point, and they kind of relinquished the title. So, like, the Junior Heavyweight title wasn't really in the factor at the time; wasn't really important. And for some reason now it's like one of the top titles, but at the time it was like diminishing on the way out, almost like the Iron Man title. I believe they were talking about getting rid of the championship at the time, and I wanted to step up and, make the junior division a little bit more competitive again, and that's when they decided to throw me and Pinky Sanchez together. And I believe it was, like, the first time for 3 months straight that a mid-card match was getting more of a reaction than some of the higher matches on the card. And it kind of solidified the junior division and kind of solidified my career in CZW because, like, that's when the fans start liking me. I was actually supposed to be the heel, and I was getting more over than the babyface because we were just literally go out there month after month and beat the living hell out of each other. And the crowd was just loving it. It was just insane how well they reacted to that feud. And that pretty much jump-started my junior division career.
Now, how long were you in there before the we're going to get into it, the best of the best 2009?
The Botchamania sensation?
Well, I'm not going to mention Botchamania because
that thing's been on there more times than anybody I know.
Not more than Mongo. The match is going along. You go for I posted it on Twitter because it is something to be seen, considering, well, the result that you're back. You go for a suicide dive. You miss.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The actual move that I was going for, and I've hit it numerous times before, and I keep telling people this, but they don't believe me. But there, if Devin, I actually hit it. It was a running Arabian press. Like I jump like in a, I hit my legs and do a backflip, but I'm
right, yeah.
Both CZW ring, the top rope was a lot lower than the new CZW ring, and I miscalculated. So there was a fault factor in there, and I didn't take an account, and
yeah, I
overshot it, and my foot got caught, and splat.
Do you remember anything before or after it immediately?
This is the last thing I remember. Jumping and waking up and seeing Zandig's face and everybody else's face is white as a ghost.
Oh, jeez. Okay. You get to the hospital, they evaluate you. What is the actual injury? Concussion? Stitches?
Very severe concussion.
Yeah.
14 stitches in my head. You could actually see my skull. That's how bad I split my head open. I separated my AC joint very severely. If you take notice of some of my pictures, my left shoulder, my bone still protrudes out the shoulder. They suggested I get a minor procedure done, but I really never got it done. I rehabbed it myself. But the funny thing is, I went to work that Monday.
Wow. Okay. did you go right into it? Did you have it in your mind? You were coming back. Was there ever a moment you were like, I think I'm done. I can't do this anymore. Or was it, F this, I'm going back. There's no question, I'm coming back.
Well, what happened was I was geared up to continue in the tournament, but they refused to let me. And I didn't really think about how severe my injury was until I decided to lift my arm and I couldn't even lift it. So,
gotcha.
So I wanted to come back. I wanted to come back next month because Ego granted me a rematch, a 1-on-1 for the junior title, and I nobody was clearing me. Maven, Zandig, DJ, not even my family was clearing me. My doctor said no. I wanted to do it, but I didn't realize how bad the injury was until I watched the DVD, and I didn't have it in my head. And as soon as I seen the DVD, it kind of set me back and kind of like, oh man. I shouldn't be alive right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's we're going past a botch, but accidents happen, blah, 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 blah. It's something I can't watch it again. I mean, the sound it makes. So you're out how long at this point?
I should have been out 5 months, but I was out 3.
Jesus Christ. That's crazy. I don't mean that in a good way. I mean,
and my first match back was a ladder match for the Junior Heavyweight Championship.
A ladder match?
Yeah,
ladder,
you're nuts.
Match.
Wow. Hey, man, I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it, but I was pretty much like somewhat told it's either you do it or you find somebody else that'll do it. So
they're so understanding. That's great. Your first couple of matches back, not including the friggin' ladder match, Jesus. Is there any moment, not only backstage, like getting ready for the event, but is there any moment in the middle of your first couple of matches back where you're in the middle of something, where you're about to do something and you abort or you think about aborting?
Absolutely. There was almost immediate hesitation to take any risks whatsoever. And I never had that, feeling ever. I always tell my students of mine or like, you know, people that I help along that if you think about it even more, you're going to get hurt. You know, just don't think about it. Just do it. And the first thing that popped in my head was thoughts like, you know, don't do this. This doesn't even feel right. Like, and I never had that feeling before. And it was something that I didn't have in my career at the time. And it was kind of disappointing myself. You know what I mean? It was a real big letdown. I was afraid to take risks. I was even afraid to take certain moves.
Oh, jeez. I mean, were most people, you know, understanding, or were they kind of like, well, no, we got to do this. We're going to do it.
Oh,
absolutely. Later.
Dude, hell yeah. People asked, you know, are you sure you want to do any of this stuff? Like, yeah, you know, that's the stuff I was willing to do, you know. Some people, you know, ask me if I was like, absolutely not, I'm not doing that. No, definitely not. And I would never turn down anything. And wow. that was like the starting point of like, man, I got a hesitation in my step, and that's not me. And my head's not into it. And that was like the first brick falling off the wall for me to, you know, crumble and call it quits.
Now, was there, how long was it where you stopped thinking about it? Or do you still go to a match like, I'm not doing this, I'm not feeling it?
Now, since I had, like, that's my time off, like, you know, really, in reality, I retired. I lost the loser, leave CCW. Like, I had a lot of, you know, personal, you know, people in my life tell me, I think it's time to give it up. You know, you're getting hurt. I was getting hurt even after the incident because I was thinking about taking risks, and I was getting little injuries and during matches and stuff like that. I had a little stinger in Baltimore, Maryland against the Briscoe brothers, and where I was, my legs were and stuff like that. And things were just going downhill. I was getting hurt left and right because I was thinking about, you know, taking risks. And I was definitely self-destruction in the ring. If I didn't call quits, I would probably kill myself eventually.
Jeez.
So you call it quits. You retire. How long were you retired before you got that itch again?
Well, I sat 6 months, and I would still go to CZW shows, you know, just to hang out because, you know, it's been a part of my life, you know what I mean? I can't just walk away from it. Now, DJ opened the door to me and asked me if I was willing to, you know, take a referee spot. And I was like, dude, I never thought about that. And, you know, it gets me a chance to get in the ring, you know, with no risks, you know. What the hell, why not, you know? Something different. Maybe it'd be a new beginning of a new career, you know what I mean? And I enjoyed the referee bit, and in my opinion, I was actually half decent with it. I think that was my first mistake, was doing the referee thing, because, like, a little bit after a year being part of some exciting matches, like the finals of Best of the Best 10 against Adam Cole and Sammy Callahan, man, the high level of match that was, it was intense just for me as a referee.
Yeah.
It started to itch, man. It started to itch real bad. So roughly, I would think two years before I got the itch, man.
So what companies did you contact to say, hey, I went back in. I want to do this full time again.
Dude, it was a rough first couple months back. Like, I actually fell into a booking in Jersey and there was like a doubleheader for Beast and
I know what you're talking about. I don't know the name of the other company, but it was that doubleheader for Beast, and I forget the name of the company as well.
And
but
I took Just Incredible's spot in the tag team, the television title tournament. My first match back, and I'm like, wow, I'm already doing two matches on my first show. But like,
wow.
Anyway, I had a little, you know, ring rust and stuff like that, but like the bookings were few and far between. I was thinking it was a bad idea, and nobody was biting. You know, I was wondering. You know, people probably think still retired in a sense. But as soon as August hit, man, but like for some reason, I have a booking start to pick up real quick. People got word that I was back. You know, people got word that I really didn't miss a beat at all. Seemed like I dropped some weight. Seemed like I got myself in better shape. You know.
And one of the companies that you work for on a pretty regular basis is DWF. That's Doc Diamond. Was there a history with you and Doc?
There wasn't. There's a history with some of the trainers there, Ron Starr, Teddy Fine, you know, Michael Keener. And I wasn't ready to go to CCW school again yet because I don't feel I was up to par to be, you know, they're pretty intense, you know, training sessions over there. So, like, I wanted to start light. I'm not saying it's a light school, but for me, you know, instead of, like, me training with guys, to get my feet wet again, I could help out with students and you know, kind of, like, wean my way into, you know, getting myself back on track. And that's where I could go with, like, the DWF. And then again, it was, like, 5 minutes over the bridge, you know. So I was training at the school, and Rowdy actually asked me He's like, "Would you be willing to work here?" He's like, "And I know you, you know, it seems like a step back from CZW to," and like, "Dude, I'm willing to take any bookings right now. Just, you know, anything. I just want to have fun again." And, like, I always like taking them, like, you know, small company bookings because, like, they're the most fun to work for, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they're most freelance ever, and, you know, it's a wide variety of kids. And, you know, and for me, this time around, I'm really all about elevating younger talent. Like, yeah, I'm not saying I'm taking a step back myself, Holly. Obviously, I still want to, you know, keep my name fresh in everybody's head because, to me, this, like, I had time to think about everything, and, like, mentally, I'm 100% ready to go again, you know. Like, no thoughts in my head, you know, no hesitation about anything, you know. I'm not afraid to take any more risks, but I'm taking more wiser risks, so to speak.
So you're working a little bit smarter is what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Well, yeah, you know, yeah, I was thinking to myself, you know, 12 years in this business, you know, you better start working smarter instead of harder.
Yeah. So what's the experience like in DWF for you? You've been booked on a few shows. Of course, you attacked Mark Angel, your first appearance, I guess, with DWF. This past show, just this past Saturday, you're involved in a five-way. What's the experience like? You, Loudy, Xavier Cross, part of that group. How's it feel getting back out there again?
I'm loving it, man. I'm loving the gimmick we're doing right now. Xavier Cross is an extremely hidden talent. He has an unreliable amount of potential with just his character alone. And as you've seen, he pulled some aces out of his sleeve Saturday when I didn't even know with that corkscrew dive. I was like, where the hell did you pull that out of?
Yeah, true.
I mean, like, and Loudy's an untapped talent too. He's got a great manager mind, man. It's like he's very underestimated, and I think it's time for him to branch out a little bit more too. You know what I mean? Like, for people to know, and that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to, like, you know, I'm doing this for me because it's fun. I love it. You know, and I want to be part of, like, you know, I'm traveling again. You know, when I was, like, my last year in the business before I retired, I wasn't wrestling for anybody else besides CZW. Now I'm wrestling everywhere. You know, like, I'm taking all kinds of bookings again. So I'm getting the full experience again, and I'm dragging these guys along with me to get the experience. You know, to get their names out there. You know, and Loudy's doing a good job of getting highly entertaining wrestlers some name credibility. So it's actually really fun right now. me and Dean Christensen, of course, he's one of my other students that trained with at PWU. He's like, he refers to us as the new horseman.
Yeah, true.
It's like a little joke. It's a little inside joke. He's like, we party like the horseman, baby. We wrestle and we...
You know, now, I have a question from another wrestler, and please, I'm just the messenger. Don't hit me.
Okay.
Missy Sampson wants to know what it was like losing to her 2 weeks ago.
I didn't lose to her. It's my partner lost to her. I put her to sleep. You tell her I put her to sleep.
She's distorting the facts now. I'm going to have to get an answer.
Ask her how her kidneys are.
Okay, Drew.
Tell her
if
I'm
people...
sorry.
If people want to follow your career, get in touch with you, what's the best way?
Right now, like, I'm starting to get into the Twitter phase, you know, so, like, I'm going to start tweeting a little bit more. So if you want to follow me a little bit easier, it's at Philly Drew Blood on Twitter. My Facebook page is, you know, look me up under Ray Williams. That's an old gimmick name I used to use. But,
okay. Well, there you go.
I got to change it over. I have a Drew Blood Facebook page, but it's very, very childish. It's like my old MySpace page.
Oh, I got you. So what's coming up for you? Do you have any bookings you wanted to share with us?
I have, this weekend I'm working Mike Quest for, Dapper Johnny. I just got the phone call yesterday about this booking. this Saturday in Manville, New Jersey for National Pro Wrestling Superstars. I have a doubleheader November 10th for up in Reading for World Professional Wrestling. Me and Devin Moore are doing the Flamingo Cup Tag Team Tournament.
Oh, okay.
And then we're shooting right up to New York for Impact Championship Wrestling at Deer Park at the NYWC Sportatorium, where we and him are working the Sons of Samoa, Alpha Jr. and, well, Manu and, I can't even pronounce the other Samoan's name, but I know him really well. That's supposed to be a nice little brawl. I believe, I'm not quoting you on this, it hasn't been confirmed, but I've been talking to him for RCW in Baltimore. I believe I'm there November 3rd.
Oh.
I actually, I'm starting to fill up a lot. You know, I got quite a few bookings.
And DWF returns on the 24th of November.
November 24th, I'll be there too. Yeah, and Nick Swab was like, "You're definitely coming now." I'm like, "Yeah, I'll be there, buddy. Don't worry about it."
That is a guest I have to actually get next. Nick Swab, he's been around, so.
Nice little fact: Nick Swab is the originator of the Notorious Inc. Gimmick.
Oh.
Me and Devin Moore kind of kept rolling with it. He was my first manager. Oh, man, he was another one that I started off with. I was one of the original members of Notorious Inc. And you should see Notorious Inc. back when I first started. Holy God. Boy, was that a circus.
Well, save that for next time, Drew. Right now, I got to move on. But it's been great talking to you tonight. If you want to catch up with him, probably Twitter's the best way. Look him up at Philly Drew Blood. Thanks for taking the time out of your day to catch up with us.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Anytime, you know, I usually don't do nothing at night, so if you want me on as a regular.
I see a segment.
Drew Blood, 12 years in the business, that's a lot.
Drawing blood with Drew.
There
waka,
you go.
Waka waka.
There you go. So,
and
Drew,
I promise no more splat incidents.
I hope not. Solid. Yeah, definitely not.
No, in all seriousness, people listening, and everybody says the whole botch thing. I mean, there are worse stupid botches. This is a serious thing. If you want to see something, which is actually an amazing story because Mother Effer came back after 3 months, go to the link on our Twitter page, Hell in the Cell, and look at that video, at least the first 30 seconds, and see something incredibly amazing because he's wrestling again, guys. So,
you want to hear something funny real quick? You know, you said you couldn't watch it again?
Yeah.
Well, I show it to my girlfriend. She goes, ooh, let me see that again. I'm like, gee, you have real sympathetic.
Jesus. You're a statist.
You're a keeper. Love you, baby.
All right. Well, you have a great night, and I'm sure we'll talk to you soon again.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, guys. You enjoy your night, and I will be seeing you soon.
Okay. So that was Drew Blood.
3 months?
Yeah. Yeah.
Christ. I'm done. I'm on disability. You know? My head hurts. Dan, can you take out the trash? My head hurts.
I stubbed my toe last night.
I stubbed my toe. I have an ingrown toenail. I can't walk.
Well, it's commercial time, Dan.
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room on WEXP 1600 AM in Philadelphia and TheBradyHicks.com. Like what you hear? Be sure to check out all the other great content available on TheBradyHicks.com. In the Room, Between the Ropes, JV Mail, Hell in a Cell Radio, Titus Machiavelli, The Papa Don Show, What's Wrong with Wrestling, The Book Club, Saturday Night Akbaz, The Extreme Odd Couple with Steve Carino and Rob Dimension, The O Show, The Fish Tank with Bobby Fish, and Dimple Date. The Dating and Relationship Show at TheBradyHicks.com. Great video content. This Week in Wrestling. Stepping Out with Sassy Stephanie. WSU and ECWA TV. Completely Damaged. Wrestling Reflections with Darren Corbin. And so much more. Check it out today.
Now I want to shout out to our new listener, Rich. Thank you for the Mongo reference.
Okay. So we have a new listener.
New listener. And unfortunately, I've seen more of that man, unfortunately, than I've seen of myself. No homo.
Not sure what that means, but Dan.
It was a full moon. Let's just say that. We'll be right back.
Robert, you are back in the cell. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Doing fantastic, guys. You know, I had to laugh to myself a little bit listening to that previous guest because it's great to hear somebody like that that has a passion to come back from an injury like that after 3 months. I mean, I used to know somebody who had a back spasm and took off 8 years, turned into a comedian, and then decided to be a head trainer. But it's great to hear that some people still do have the passion.
We were doing so well.
We were fine. And Robert comes on the show. Goddamn.
We were doing so well. So
listen, I'm fired up. We're only 10 days away now. I'm fired up.
10 days away. Of course, we're talking about PG-13 expanded. And if you saw the Scoop Slam, the debut of the Scoop Slam, you know, Robert, I picked you to win.
The Dean of Credibility, when you had an opportunity to let the world know who was going to win, I was very, very honored to be your choice to win PG-13. And as far as I'm concerned, you could also be a fortune teller because you look into that crystal ball and you can predict the future, and the Knight Rider is going to walk away with a win at PG-13.
It's not really a prediction. It's more of, like, you know, it's going to happen. Like, end of story. There's nothing to predict.
You know, I've been waiting for so long to prove to everybody that I am the true U.S. champion. It was stolen from me after I won the Battle Royal. You know, I kept it safe all these months, and I decided to hand it over just so I could prove to everybody with a clean win, once and for all, that the belt belongs to me. It doesn't matter who I have to go through. I'm going to go through, I would say, 12 other guys, but me and Justin America got a little pack going, so we're going to eliminate everybody and then put on a clinic for the fans in attendance on the 27th.
Now, speaking of the clinic that Justin America was involved with, tonight, after the show, the commentary track that guy, R. Jobs, will be released for the public to see.
Oh, nice. Maybe Kit can get a little early copy of that so I can check it out.
Definitely, definitely. It is 6 minutes of classic wrestling. I've never seen a display from anyone. That Justin America, he just... Really, maybe you could explain it better. You were there in attendance. What was that match like to witness?
From the time the bell rang, the match had a WrestleMania feel to it. Yeah, anytime Justin America's in the ring, it has that type of a vibe. I mean, I'm sure the fans are probably standing up most of the time, as they should be, out of respect for Justin and that midget that he beat up on that day. But I'm sure you probably did Magnum XL about as much justice as you do Brady Hicks, and you make him relevant and you carry him through the broadcast like I'm sure you're going to do. But Justin America is a true icon, and I'm sure that shines through in the match that everybody's going to see.
I mean, listening to Brady Hicks commentate is kind of like reading a Captain Dave post.
It's very similar. I mean, Captain Dave broke the news to everybody this week that our new building is called the Proving Grounds.
Go back to that page and see how that's gone in the last 5 minutes. Shoot.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man, I haven't checked it out.
Oh, God.
Now, one thing that you brought up, and I want to bring it up, too. I was telling Brady earlier this week that I made him relevant in this business once again. He's been languishing around for, what, the past 10 years, writing an article here, an article there. As soon as Hell in a Cell Talk Radio is born, people are talking about Brady Hicks again.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I mean, Hell in a Cell Talk Radio has made superstars. I mean, there's guys that haven't been heard of. There's guys, I mean, Madman Moose Moretti is famous from your show. And he hasn't even been a guest. That's the power that Hell in a Cell Talk Radio has and brings to the wrestling world.
Well, I mean, he always writes in those Grammar Award-winning letters to fan mail.
He certainly
That's
does.
True.
Speaking of fan mail, Dan, I believe
like
you have the first one.
Yeah. Dear Robert, how do you feel being the man who was picked by the Dean of Credibility, Dean Dixon, as the winner of the upcoming PG-13 Expanded? It must be an honor. Sincerely, Mike Reed.
Oh, Mike Reed, the former hotshot. It's good to hear from you, Mike. You know, I know you're coming in at number 13. I don't know who you knew to get that spot, probably the same guy that was okay with you stealing a title from me in the first place. But, Mike Reed, it's an honor for me to have been chosen by Dean as the winner. And I'm sure, Mike Reed, you yourself know that I'm going to be walking out just like I did over a year ago with the U.S. Championship, only this time it's going to be on a grander stage on the biggest night of all for New Moon Rising.
And that's, of course, October 27th. That's going to be at the Proving Grounds, 10:30, Delcy Drive, Deptford, New Jersey. That's
not New Moon Arena.
No, not the... Oh, my God.
It's okay. The newly christened Proving Grounds.
By Captain... By the good old Captain himself. Good gracious. We made a superstar out of him, too.
Yeah. No, we didn't.
He's a superstar. He walks around with a piece of cardboard and a magic marker right in his sign.
A six-year-old wrote that sign, right?
Stop it. We were doing so well.
Listen, he wants everybody to know that he's no Matt Lauer or Gordon Solie. He's just Captain Dave doing his wrestling reporting.
He's Mark Madden.
Oh, my God. Anyway, moving right along here, we have another piece of fan mail. And it goes like this. Yo, Knight Rider. I'm in need of advice, maybe even some help. I have a title match coming up on October 27th at PG-13 Expanded against Jake Bishop. I couldn't beat him clean last time, and I saw how you offered to help Mike Reed against me, and he chose not to accept the help. Well, I am willing to accept it. Help a Punisher out. Help me keep my title. I strive to one day be a true... hero of the night like yourself. Rest in pieces, and I will note that pieces is spelled wrong. Luis!
That's the smartest thing I ever heard Luis say. He's asking me for my help. You know, he's going to need it because the Meat Society has got their hands all over PG-13 Expanded, but he's stepping into the ring with Jake Bishop, and from what I understand, this is a no-disqualification match for that championship. He doesn't have a chance. I mean, Luis had to have the help of a steel chair and a crooked commissioner to do it the first time. This time around, it's going to be a different set of circumstances, and in my opinion, Jake Bishop's leaving with the belt. So, Luis, I'm sorry, but after the 27th, you might just have to buy a ticket and watch the champions just like everybody else.
Oh, that's right. Now,
I don't see how the Meat Society will not come out on top this time.
Oh, with the Meat Society, I mean, especially after Empire Search for Weapons.
Yeah.
Do what?
They're not getting in.
I don't think so.
Empire's not getting in, or is Rob? Never mind.
Somebody's not getting in. I don't know who, but speaking of people who are getting in, Justin America's on the line. Let me get him on. All right, Justin, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I didn't know I was in the queue.
You're in the queue. You better be ready.
Well, that's good. I just had a quick question for Robert. I know we've been friends for, you know, all our lives, pretty much, as far as I'm concerned. Top Gun or Dirty Dancing?
Oh, that's a tough one. I got to go with Dirty Dancing only because I feel like I've been put in the corner. Much like Baby was in the corner. And much like Patrick Swayze extended his hand in friendship that day, I am very much appreciative of your hand that's been extended in friendship for what's going on. Not that I'm comparing myself to Baby, even though I can dance my ass off, but we're going to show everybody at PG-13 Expanded that nobody puts two greatest American heroes in a corner, and we're going to prove it to everybody.
Are you, in fact, like the wind?
Well,
I've been compared to the wind now and then.
How about you?
I would have to say Top Gun, because Robert is the maverick to my Iceman. He can be my wingman any day.
There you go.
There you go. Do you have anything else for us, Justin?
No, I just wanted to check in on Robert, see how he was doing, make sure that whatever bug he caught last week from running for two and a half hours plus 1 minute was gone. And he's ready to go on the 27th.
I am ready to go. I appreciate it. You know what? I'm working on this week's fan mail with Kit as we speak. So we're going to get that one out. And that's actually going to be the last fan mail leading up to PG-13 Expanded because I'm going into intense training over the next 9 days. I'm going to get a haircut. I'm going to keep running. I'm going to buy a new bottle of that Dracar Noir cologne, and I'm going to bring it on PG-13. People are going to see something they've never seen before.
Well, I can't.
Go ahead, Justin.
I can't wait to see you. And Dean of Credibility, I'll see you soon. And Wayne Knight Jr., whenever I get a chance to see you, I'll see you soon as well.
Hey, Wayne Knight has one quick question. For those who are listening and everybody in public, what is the name of the building for New Moon Rising?
It is the former, oh no, was never called the New Moon Arena. It is actually called the Proving Grounds.
Okay, thank you. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but...
It was just announced today.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just today.
We were keeping it a secret.
Okay, yeah, well, yeah, man, Captain Dave, damn it.
Anyway, Justin, you have a good night. We'll speak soon.
You too, sir. You too.
Okay, so everyone, that was Justin America. What else do you have to tell us, Robert? I mean, you got fan mail coming up. You got going into intense training. Now, I have seen some footage of some of this training, and let me tell you, your stepping high kick can't be matched.
Listen, I that kick has not even been introduced to the wrestling world yet, and it's if you thought that Daniel LaRusso's kick at the end of the Karate Kid was something, you have not seen nothing yet, because whoever's a victim of this, they're just going to be laid out flat. They're going to be dead weight going over the top ropes in that battle royal.
Okay, I believe I have the Dirty Roughneck on the line as well.
Here we go.
So
it's almost
see.
A great night.
Hey, ask him what the name of the arena is called.
Hey, Roughneck, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, Roughneck, what do you got to say? This is Robert Knight. You've been talking about it for months. We're 10 days away from you finally getting your grubby little T-Rex fingers on them. What's going to happen?
What's going to happen? Well, when we show up at the Proving Grounds, I don't know where this New Moon Rising Wrestling Arena came from, but apparently somebody can't read or write. We're going in there, and me and Robert are going to go toe-to-toe. I'm hoping I'm number two. If I'm number two, Robert's the first one out. And if he brings in that little weasel, Justin American, I'm whooping his butt, too.
Strong words. Robert, what do you got to say back to that grubby little biker guy?
You know, he's got to stop worrying so much about me and just worrying about being able to go the distance. Because with the rules of PG-13, eliminations can't begin until all 13 guys are in there. So, I mean, I've proven I can go 2.5 hours, and I haven't seen the Roughneck even make it clear around the ring yet without hitting the floor. So you got bigger things to worry about, pal. And if our paths do cross on the 27th, you're going to find out what I've been saying for months and months, that I'm better than you. It's as simple as that.
There is just no way that you're a little pampered geek. And it's just not going to happen. You're done.
Listen, you had a hard enough time beating my lunchbox in that video. I got news for you. It's going to happen on the 27th, and I'm going to be the man standing above you holding the U.S. Championship, looking down on you, laying next to Tank Tolan, to Mike Reed, to the Empire, to everybody else. I'm the man getting his hand raised in victory. This is finally going to happen, and I can't wait.
I'll see you on the 27th.
Yeah, bring your wild, too, because you owe me for that cheeseburger I couldn't eat the day you jumped me in that restaurant, pal.
I didn't jump anybody. I keep telling you that wasn't me. Justin wants to blame it on me because he got jumped. Dean says I hijacked his friggin' internet feed or whatever he's doing over there in his basement. I'm not quite sure. Don't even want to know.
You see the bodies down there. It's kind of creepy.
Anyway,
sure it is. Fresh cement everywhere.
Roughneck, I had enough of you. You have a good night. There, I'm
how dare you hang up on him?
Now, Robert, we have a caller in queue. I don't recognize the number, so I'm going to get him on. Maybe it's a fan. Maybe it's who knows what.
Sound good.
Let's see what we got. Hello, caller. 856 area code. You are on the line with the Knight Rider, Robert Knight.
Good evening.
All right, who's this?
Dean.
Is this
good to see you? It was good to see you last week, brother.
It's Ref Rich. Everyone, the return of Ref Rich to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. How are you doing tonight, Ref Rich?
Well, I've had better nights, but it'll be all right. The reason I called, I was listening to your show, and
yep.
I just want to wish everybody over at New Moon the best. Wish them a success in that show. I wish I could make it, but I'll be busy on that night. But I do want to say I want to give a lot of kudos to Jake Bishop.
Okay.
For his match against Tyrino last Saturday night.
That's true. It was a very good match.
And I felt it was an honor and a pleasure to do that match and referee that match for Jake and Ty.
Wow.
Unfortunately, we had a little mishap in the seats, but, you know, things turned out the way they did. But they put on a good show, and if doing the match, I didn't get to see how it turned out or how it looked, but knowing Jake as well of a competitor as he is, I could only imagine the Punisher's in trouble. And I will go on record to say I will have to predict Robert Knight's going to blow everybody away in that match.
Wow.
I have a funny feeling he's going to kick some tail. And Roughneck, you may not have a neck now, but you probably ain't going to have no legs when you're done. That's all I'm going to say on that respect.
Wow.
Well, I'm going to go hide now.
I appreciate the support, Rich. You know, that's another one on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio, Dean. My fans are lining up. And these are people in the industry like yourself and like Ref Rich. So you don't know what's going to happen. But rest assured, I'm leaving with that belt at PG-13.
Like I said, I wish I could be there to watch. But, you know, I have another commitment for that night. But like I said, I'm going to drop off here because I got to get up in the morning. But I just wanted to touch base and wish Robert the best in that match. I hope he comes out victorious. He deserves it. I know he got screwed a few times over. But, you know, pull it off, Robert. Everybody's pulling for you, brother.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, man.
All right. Dean, see you around, buddy.
Yeah. I'm just a little flabbergasted. You have a great night.
Wow.
Adios, amigos.
The phone sounds great. That's the last thing I'll say to you.
Yeah, it's not my cell phone this time. I used a house phone.
Probably a good idea.
Okay. All right. Take it easy, guys.
Okay. So that was the returning to the cell, Ref Rich, Robert. Wow.
For those
anything can happen on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Exactly. There you go. Robert got it. I can leave. Robert got it.
Yeah. So, Robert, a historic episode here.
Absolutely.
Bridges can be mended, folks.
Absolutely.
Wow. But wrap it all up.
No one's more surprised than me. But like I said, I appreciate this is somebody else who sees what the Knight Rider, Robert Knight, has brought to New Moon Rising Wrestling and to the wrestling world. And I don't disrespect anybody who has kind words to say to me. So, Rev Rich is cool in my book.
Wow.
Wow, that is a huge step. In the last couple of months, awesome.
Robert, the catchphrase, I can't say anything else. So
I mean, the catchphrase, it speaks for itself, and it was proven here tonight. One man can make a difference.
Amen.
One man certainly can. Wow. Robert, we'll talk next week.
Sounds good, guys.
I'm just a little wow.
Yeah, no kidding. There are
olive branches.
I was going to say there are people, there are real men,
yes,
and there are cowards, and that shows you that there's between a real man and somebody who isn't.
Well, like I said, Hatchet was buried a long time ago with Rich at this point. So, but it's been so long, I forgot his number.
Yeah.
Wow.
856.
Wow.
Yeah, as soon as you started talking, I'm like, oh, crap.
I wasn't sure either. I didn't know where that was going to go, but it went to a nice place. See, that's the magic of Blog Talk Radio.
The magic of Hell in a Cell Radio, soon to be named something else sometime soon, is we bring people together.
We certainly do. Now, Omega, I hope you're ready. I know you're here. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm feeling the love tonight.
Aren't you?
I love you.
It's kind of touchy feely, guys. It's
a little weird.
We need to inject some testosterone and violence into this.
Speaking of that,
I was going to put my pants back on, but I'm actually going to leave them off for this next segment.
All right, so let's get to it.
Too much information, Dan.
Why? Yes. Omega, this past weekend, UFC 153 took place. Now, let's talk about that main event. In the main event, you had the best in the world, literally. There's no one else that can compare to this man. Anderson Silva, the Spider, defeating none other than Stephen Bonner.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear about this fight, gentlemen.
Now, let's just describe the scene there.
Well, you got Anderson Silva in a UFC ring in Brazil. I mean, the atmosphere is as positive for Silva as you can get.
Yes.
And across the cage is a man who up until recently was retired, but is known for, you know, brawling. And, you know, the bell rings, and we get exactly what we think we're going to get. We think we get Bonner wading in, trying to out-muscle Silva, putting him on a cage, throwing some punches. And for a while, it looked for, you know, 30 seconds, 45 seconds, it looked like Bonner was doing what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then you realize that Anderson Silva was letting him do what he wanted to do.
I think the point that I first realized that something was going tragically wrong for Stephen Bonner was when Anderson just backed up against the cage and allowed Stephen to unload.
He just puts it back against the cage, wraps his hands, just stands there like he's waiting for a bus. And Bonner comes in, throws a few punches, tosses him into the corner, and Silva just throws Bonner off, then walks back to the cage and puts his hand down again, waiting, just daring Bonner to come in and quote unquote impose his will.
And it didn't happen that way.
There was a point, roughly about 4 minutes and 20 seconds into the round, at which Silva just said, "I'm done."
Yeah.
basically did a trip on Bonner, threw him down to the ground. As Bonner's getting up, pushes him into the cage, and as Bonner bounces back off the cage, a la a pro wrestling rope, knees him in the solar plexus.
Fight's over.
Just fight is over. Bonner crumbles in a heap, fetal position, paralyzed. There's a few more punches after that, but it was academic at that point.
He is just getting his wind back, he says, when the fight stopped.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just pinpoint accuracy.
I mean, just one knee.
Well,
that was all it took.
But one thing I will say about Stephen Bonner, and one thing that I think people should really congratulate him for is he did not back down. He went right out there, horn sounds, bell rings, whatever, goes right out there ready to fight. Yushin Okami did not do that. Vitor attempted to do that. But a lot of guys are so intimidated with this mystique that Silva has at this point that they just kind of freeze. It's a big fight. They're in Brazil. But Bonner, boom, right out there.
Bonner's never been one to hesitate. he's always been a guy that's going to go forward and is going to try to get in, is going to get in range, is going to try to throw punches with you, and he's going to take what you give him. So yeah, I mean, he gets credit for trying. He gets credit for stepping in with the best fighter on the planet on short notice.
And it was no, like he said weeks ago when he first found out about the fight, no harm in losing to Anderson Silva.
No. I mean, Anderson Silva is just a scary, scary man.
Well, especially after this.
I mean, who can touch him? He can stand there with a professional fighter and basically just dare him to try to beat him.
Yeah.
And makes it effortless. Makes it effortless. So you look at this, you look at the result of this, you know, Silva moves up in weight and just destroys Bonner easily. And you say, who has a chance at middleweight? What fight do you even make that makes any sense? Yeah. And there's only one that I can think of.
John Jones.
Yeah,
that's it. But yeah. Chael Sonnen will have that chance.
Yeah, don't. Yeah. You will get me started. But I'm sure we want to go through the rest of the card before we go.
Well, I want to talk about the co-main event. Dave, jiu-jitsu doesn't work on me. Herman, taking on none other than Minotauro. Big Nog, Nogueira. Now, that certainly, I think Nogueira went out there with something on his mind, something to prove that jiu-jitsu will, in fact, work, my friend.
Yeah, I think he went out there to prove a couple things. I think he was ticked off about jiu-jitsu doesn't work, despite 20 years of UFC saying, it kind of does.
How dumb is that statement?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But I also think
the guy's what, 2-3 or 1-4 in UFC, and he's saying that.
Yeah. I don't know what it was just a ridiculous statement. Without obviously a lot of bravado that he couldn't back up, because Minotauro came out and basically won this fight. You know, he was out there on a mission. I think he wanted to prove that he was back, that the injury that Frank Mir gave him isn't going to stop him.
Certainly,
I think he did that.
Yeah, he made a few points and made them well. Now, the rest of the card I didn't get a chance to see, but anything significant happened on the rest of that card?
Yes, actually, as a card goes, it was a very good card. The John Fitch versus Eric Silva fight was great. It was a great fight. John Jones did pick up the decision win, but realistically, he could have finished that fight if the ref should have stopped that fight at the end of round three, because Eric Silva was taking way too much punishment, in my opinion. He wasn't really defending himself. Fitch is on top of him and was just laying leather upon him. It should have been stopped. It was not stopped. That being said, it was a competitive bout all the way through. Fitch won the first round. Silva won the second. Submissions. Fitch surviving submissions that would have stopped another guy.
Mm-hmm.
Fitch really, really impressed me with this fight. And obviously Fitch takes a lot of criticism for
being a little boring.
For being boring fights. This was not a boring fight. He should have got a TKO victory in this one. I think he's established himself now as we're talking GSP Condit here. I think he's got to be in the conversation again.
I certainly would hope so. I mean, he's only lost one fight, and that could have been a fluke. So,
yeah.
There was another fight that should have been Dr. Stoppage, am I correct?
Oh, yes. The Glover Teixeira Fabio Maldonado fight was just horrific. I don't know how. First off, all credit to Maldonado for being, super durable. I don't know how he remains standing at the end of the round. At the end of round one, much less the end of round two. dude was just getting battered for two rounds. He was just beat up. Tashiro was just landing at will, but he was barely holding on to consciousness, and he manages to tag Tashiro at the end of round one and stuns him and rocks him. You know, after taking 4.5 minutes of beating, this was a 10-7 round, in my opinion, for round one. And that shows you how badly he was getting dominated and why that fight should have been stopped. His face was a mess, could barely stand up. Why the doctor didn't stop it the first time, I don't know. Why the ref didn't stop it, and at any number of occasions through that 10 minutes of a fight was ridiculous. I don't know. I don't know why the doctor and referee and Maldonado's corner should have, one of those three should have said
something.
This is done, you know, and it didn't happen. But there was questionable judging on the whole card.
Now, what's the rule on a referee? Is there a rule, or is the referee discretion?
It's referee discretion, for the most part.
Do they follow a guide about, all right, there's blood in his eyes, we're done, or it's just complete referee's discretion? There's no guide.
There's guidelines. There's the intelligent defense rule, which says that, you know, it's supposed to be, if the fighter is not intelligently defending himself, the fight should be stopped. Now, the problem is intelligent defense is not
defined,
specifically defined,
gotcha.
And that's up to ref's judgment. And if a fighter, you know, sometimes it just comes down to a fighter says, I'm okay to go, I want to go, then the ref lets it go, and that's kind of what happened in this case. But there's also times where a ref or a doctor or the corner has to step in and say, a fighter's going to fight. I have to stop this for his own safety. And that didn't happen.
With throwing the towel, more or less.
Right. Well, yeah, that's happened a few times. I think the last notable time it happened was BJ Penn's corner against GSP was probably the last time that happened. Now, we do have Missy Sampson on the line. We're going to get right to her. But, Dan, what are your impressions of Missy Sampson? I know, unfortunately, we haven't had a chance to really see her wrestle. We don't know what she could do, but she is the heavyweight champion.
She's got a lot of accolades, a lot of matches. She's a good referee.
We have seen her.
I saw her ref for match. It was one of my favorite referees ever because of the angles.
Yes, that's for sure. But we're going to get right to her after her music. All right, welcome to the show, Missy. You are with Dan, Dean, and Omega. Omega will probably be very quiet, though. But welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Hey.
I'm good. Thanks for having me, and I'm begging you to open up the freaking chat.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the first he's hearing of it because he ignores me when I mention it.
Oh.
Let's see. Launch chat.
Oh, you don't have to do it now. I mean...
Well, you know, he's such a sarcastic bastard.
I'm turning it on. You know, I turned it on anyway. Welcome to the show, Missy.
Thank you for having me. Tonight?
Yes. I wanted to start out. First time I actually had the chance to talk with you was at the Super 8 this year, and you relayed a story about George the Animal Steel. I believe it was you were going to your first show.
Yeah, it was my first match ever. I didn't drive at the time, so I had to meet one of the refs for the show at the airport. I was picking up George the Animal Steel. And we rode about 2.5 hours from the airport to the show. It was in Danville, PA, in this passenger van. And I sat in the very back seat. George sat in front of me. And I kind of just sat there real quiet for most of the ride. And then the ref that was driving decided to mention that it was my first match. And with that, George kind of perked up and he turned around. He was like, really? And I'm like, yeah. And then he started giving me tips and pointers. And I was supposed to face the company's women's champion on that night. And he said, well, are you winning the title? I said, I don't think so. Like, nobody told me, but I don't think so. And he goes, you totally should. And then when we got to the building, the promoter came outside to meet him at the van, and the first words out of George Steele's mouth when he got out of the van to the promoter were, she should win her match tonight.
So that's your baptism, so to say. Now, did you...
Okay, there's
did you
the
go
I won.
Holy shit.
So first
I won
match.
My match.
There's an endorsement.
Okay, now, taking a step back, now, where did you get your start? Where did you start training?
I started training in a little gym. I know Drew told the story about the little gym around the corner from the arena. Mine was a little bit further in Pennsylvania around Port Richmond.
Okay.
A little gym called Hawkins Gym. It literally was like an old auto repair garage. It was like a two-bay garage. It was run down. There was like a shoddy ring in one half, and there was always a broken-down car somebody was working on in the other. Mm. And I got my start. I started going to ECW shows. Met a couple people there. The Virgin Princess, Angel Amoroso, was working for ECW at the time. She was also running her own company in Philly. A friend of mine got booked to work on one of her shows, so me and my mom went down, and then everybody goes to eat afterwards. We all went to eat, and we were all sitting at this big table. And my mom happened to mention that I'd always wanted to wrestle. And at the time, this is like 96, there weren't as many female wrestlers as there are now. They were few and far between. So when Angel heard that, she was like, are you serious? And I said, yeah. And she said, I'll train you for free. Just have somebody else to work with. And I was like, okay. So, you know, Angel and a bunch of guys she trained with trained at this little gym called, we called Hawkins. And, I mean, the ring was such utter – I mean, it was a ring, but it wasn't very good. you know, usually I'd walk into training and find somebody, like, welding a piece of the ring back together. but that's pretty much where I got my start.
Now, when you go to these shows and you're in your training, and you go, do you actively go up to wrestlers? Do you try to pick their brain? Do you actively try to get backstage, or you just kind of hang back?
No, I mean, when you're training, unless you're brought to the show like by your trainer or by somebody who's on the show, you know, it's usually good principle to stay out of the back. Even now, I try to make a general rule to stay out of a locker room unless I'm on a show. Or unless the promoter has made me aware that, you know, he's okay if I go back there for whatever.
Yeah, wait till you're invited back. That's a big thing for anybody. Word to live by right there.
Right, but you know, but I'm always forever and a day trying to pick people's brains.
Even now.
Even though I was at PWS on Friday, and I run the locker room and everything for those guys, and I was standing behind the curtain in what we call gorilla position.
Yeah.
And Armando Estrada came over, and we were chatting, and he was giving me, you know, little pointers, things that, you know, you'll think about. And so, yeah, even now, I still, if somebody's willing to give advice, I'm willing to listen to it.
So even to this day, you've been in the business almost 20 years at this point, it's still an everyday learning experience. There's never a chance to stop learning.
Correct.
Wow. Wow. See, I think some people after a certain period of time, they just kind of
shut down.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think the good
thing is they're only doing themselves harm because, you know, different people in different places are trained different ways.
Yeah.
And then people are also taught psychology differently. There are different ways to look at things. So while I may have been taught one way, you know, there may be three or four other ways to look at one thing or to do one thing. And, you know, I'm a huge learner. I want to learn everything. So if I can learn those other ways from other people, I want to.
I got you. Now, early on in your career, what are some big moments that you've had during your career, like some companies you work for, some notable accomplishments, some championships that you might have won along the way?
Notable companies I worked for. I worked for Jersey. I managed for Jersey All Pro for the first year they were in business,
okay.
Which was awesome because I got to manage Homicide and NC-17, which was a tag team back then. We were the Nation of Immigration. The only joke was it was like three Hispanics and I'm the white girl. We used to joke around that I got them their green cards. throwing us together didn't make much sense.
Yeah.
So we tried to make it make sense and just have fun with it. You know, other notable companies I've worked for. I worked for AWA New Jersey, WXW. I've worked for NWA Upstate. They used to have a setup there called NEW I used to work for. I've worked for PWA in Canada. You know, notable of that is PWA in Canada decided to run a women's Elite Eight tournament years ago. And it was the first time they ran it. It was after WXW Alpha was running women's Elite Eight tournaments in Allentown. And it was probably after the second one he ran, PWA in Canada decided to run one. I was actually the only American female booked on it.
Wow.
That was asked to compete, yeah. It was me and a bunch of Canadians.
Wow. So you've had a long career, and how is it that you, because every show it seems I go to, there's Missy. It's like if I go to CZW, there's Missy. If I go to Extreme Rising, there's Missy. If I go, how did you get like involved with all these different companies?
Well, you know, I'm a trustworthy, loyal person, and I work hard. You know, when it comes to CZW, you know, I used to go around CZW when Zandig owned it.
Okay.
And Trent Acid was living with me, and I'd have to go pick him up from the shows or whatever. And, you know, and then DJ bought it. And, I've known DJ for a while. You know, DJ's fiance Lauren, is a friend of mine. And she likes when I come to shows. So she'll constantly be like, are you coming to the show? Can you come to the show? So usually I'll ride down with, you know, friends of mine or whatever. So that's how you see me at CZW.
Wow, I mean, just like everywhere, like Extreme Rising, that's the one that really threw me off. You're the one giving out tickets.
Yeah, I run around a lot. You know, Extreme Rising is owned by Five Guys Wrestling, and one of those guys is Steve O'Neill, who owns and used to run Dangerous Women of Wrestling, who I've worked for.
There you go.
And, you know, that's my connection in there. You know, once I started doing Dangerous Women of Wrestling, and Steve got to know me and could, you know, see what I was capable of. Even when Dangerous Women of Wrestling wasn't running shows, Steve was a DJ. He'd put together, like, concerts for clubs and stuff. He'd need somebody to come work the door at the club. He'd call me and be like, hey, do you want to make some cash tonight? You know, just come down, work the door for a few hours. I'll pay you cash. So he's always, you know, ever since then, he's always tried to include me in anything he's doing. So when he started Extreme, you know, it started with Extreme Reunion and then Extreme Rising, you know, he called me and he said, hey, do you want to come help out? And I don't wrestle normally as much as I haven't. Well, the past couple of weeks, I've been doing a lot more than usual, but normally I'll wrestle like once a month. So for me, you know, if I can go do, you know, behind the scenes stuff or whatever on those off weekends and A, get paid for it and just be around the business that I love, then, you know, it works out well for everyone.
Now, very recently, you had a match for, WPW, you're the heavyweight champ. You're the champ.
The champ.
Now, you had I guess the word for it is a hellacious match with Hybrid. What is it like in a match like that? Not only, and yeah, I'm going to say, not only male versus female, but what is it like in a match like that, and you come out the champ?
Unbelievable. And it was rough. I mean, you know, I lucked out, and I had a CZW heavyweight champion Masada in my corner, and Christina Von Erie was in my corner that night. So I'd gotten some pointers from Masada. Obviously, he was a very good friend of mine.
Yeah.
You know, and I, you know, part of me, you know, I knew it was a hardcore match. It was false count anywhere. It was anything goes.
God.
But even I'll say after doing that match that I wasn't expecting it to hurt as much as it did. you know, I mean, Hybrid literally was kicking the crap out of me.
Yeah, and I'm assuming there's no holding back, especially if the championship's on the line.
Exactly.
The final three count. What was going through your body? What was going through your mind?
Thank God this is over. I'm not even going to lie. It was, I had my, literally in under a minute when the match started, I had my mouth busted open.
Mm.
He kicked me in the mouth and busted my lip open. And then, I literally took a super kick square flushed under my chin.
Mm.
I actually hit, when I hit the ring, I was close to the ropes where Christina Von Erie was. she actually said, I mean, they could all tell that I got stuffed on the kick. She actually said when I hit the ring, she saw my eyeballs roll up into my head and rock back.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and then literally right after he hit that, he hit a elbow drop off the top, square across my ribs.
So, yeah, he wasn't holding back.
He wasn't holding back. And it actually got to the point where right after he did that, one of the things I remember was Masada was right to my right.
Yeah.
And I remember him, actually, kind of yelling at Hybrid, like, what the F, man? Like, what are you doing?
Mm.
Wow.
Jeez.
Now, the Flamingo Cup is the next show. Are you booked on that to defend the title?
I am booked on that to defend the title. And, at the last show, Corvus Fear won some sort of contract for, I guess, a shot at my title. I'm not even sure at this moment whether he's cashing that in next show. But I'm contractually obligated to defend the title, so I'll be there defending it. And I don't care who they put. I don't really care who they put across the ring from me. So I don't know if he's cashing that in or not.
Now, where is that going to be held? What's the date?
That is Saturday, November 10th. It's a 2:30 bell time in the afternoon. It's at Riverside Beneficial in Reading, PA.
Okay, so that's a PW action.
Yes.
Now, just this past weekend, you also made a debut for a company that you're also there.
I made two of them.
You made two debuts. I didn't know that. But on Saturday, you were in Kearney's Point. You took on Jesse K for ECWA. Now,
I did.
What was that experience like for you? Finally, you have refereed, but now it's actually you're in there wrestling. What was that like?
First, I got to tell you, refereeing hurts a lot less. And it certainly doesn't suck having a referee when Ricky the Model Martinez comes down and sticks his tongue in your mouth.
I was like, hmm.
I wasn't hating my night that night. Ladies, I believe he's single, he's gorgeous, and he's a hell of a kisser. to get booked to wrestle, and I'll honestly tell you the story behind how I got booked to wrestle. I was a fill-in.
Okay.
Somebody else, and I won't name names, was booked to work Jesse on that show.
Hmm.
And WSU announced their date for the same day. And this person works for that company.
Uh-huh.
And decided to take that booking instead. So the spot was open, and they were scrambling because, once WSU announced that date and everybody that works for WSU confirms, you've pretty much taken up all the girls in the tri-state area.
Yeah.
With the exception of me, who hasn't worked there in 2 years. So Jesse K actually hit me up and said, are you booked this day? And I said, no. And she said, I need an opponent for ECWA. And I said, well, if they want me, I'm willing to do it. For me, it was twofold. ECWA, I love being around ECWA. I mean, you've seen me at the shows, just hanging out. I love the atmosphere. I love the people that work there. Some of my very good friends work there. So I love the atmosphere. Joe and Mike, as long as I've been going there, have been very good to me and very nice to me. And it was one of those companies that I'd always wanted to work for. It was like on my wrestling bucket list.
Oh, wow.
So I got to check it off the bucket list. And I'd never worked Jesse before, which was something I really wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to check that off my wrestling bucket list as well.
Now, how was the match? I unfortunately had other obligations, but how was that match? How'd it go over?
I can honestly tell you, and the one thing I said to Jesse before the match is I've seen a couple of the other women's matches that they've put on at ECWA, and the crowd usually isn't real receptive to them. They're kind of quiet during them. And,
yeah.
And I said to Jesse, I said, our one goal is to be the first women's match in ECWA where those fans are not quiet. We're getting what we want out of those fans. I said, that is our goal. And, I got to the building and, I found out we were on second and found out everything I needed to find out and went out there and those fans were not quiet.
Nice. Because that's hard there.
Exactly. And, everyone was extremely happy with our match. There were one or two little things that could have been tweaked a little bit differently. It was mine and Jesse's first time working with each other. So there were one or two things, I could probably could have come off a little bit better, but everyone was extremely happy with the match. I had their security guys who worked their normal shows coming up and telling me it was the best women's match they've had. And, you know, the fans were, like I said, loud through the whole thing.
That's,
so,
but that's really...
That's
like
an accomplishment in
yeah.
that building.
Because usually it's very hard to get them interested into a women's match.
It's very hard to get them interested in anything.
Well, yeah, sometimes. But,
I mean, the fans at ECWA and Garnish Point were beyond amazing. And
yeah.
if you actually go into the ECWA Facebook group, like, they're, you know, they even are still, you know, saying how great the match was.
Yeah, they're still trying to see that,
Yeah, Joe put up a poll, what was your favorite match? And I think last time I looked, it was tied with
yeah.
the main event.
Wow, awesome.
So,
that
you know,
definitely
and,
is.
Yeah, you know, and I said to Jesse, I guess it was Monday, I texted her, because I didn't even think about it Saturday while we were there. But I texted her, I said, you know, I said, I forgot to point this out to you, but our one goal going into that match was to be the first time that those fans made noise and got into the women's match and weren't crickets, I said, and we did it.
Awesome.
I said, we did what we set out to do.
Awesome.
Any feelers for a return match yet?
I don't know. I haven't been asked to come back yet.
Yo!
You know, I'm hoping they ask us to come back. I would love to work Jesse again. I would love to work an ECWA show again. I had a great time. Like I said, I always get treated well by everyone from Mike and Joe to, you know, the locker room treats me well when I'm there. So I'm open to doing it.
All right. Now, I do have a caller on the line, and they have indicated
Uh-oh.
That they want to speak with you. So 813, we have you on the line. Just state your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, hi. I'm calling from Florida, and I was wondering if you could just ask Missy who her favorite Canadian female wrestler is.
Oh, no, I could totally get in trouble for this one.
Oh,
who
no.
my favorite female Canadian wrestler is. Oh, Jesus. There's so many ways I could go wrong with this answer.
I'm pretty sure you would know who would expect to hear one specific name.
Oh, wow. I don't know what's going on here.
I'm trying to think who I know from that's Canadian who's in Florida.
Are you, in fact, Mystery Caller, Canadian?
Yes, I am.
Ah. Okay. Can we give away what part?
I may or may not have worked in OSPW with one Missy Sampson.
Do you have
oh,
any clues?
No!
Missy!
Wait, stop! Hold on! There's no way this is Angel.
Hi!
Oh my god! Really? Are you serious?
What's up, girl?
I'm going to cry right now. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that don't know, I was like, there's no way this is her. Because I'm sure you guys don't know who this is. Online right now is the old Angel Williams. You guys probably know her better as Angelina Love.
Hi.
Oh, what's up, baby?
And I can't believe you just called in. I'm speechless, which since you know me so well is pretty hard to do.
I was laying on my couch watching American Horror Story going through Twitter, and I saw the little tweet saying, call this number, Missy Sampson, live now. And I was like, yep, on it.
I love you so much. You're so awesome.
I haven't seen you in a while. How are you, dear?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Better than ever.
Enjoying Florida life?
Oh, absolutely. We were just up in New York last weekend, so I'm glad to be actually the last 2 weeks in a row I've been up in New York, so I'm enjoying the warmer weather down here.
Well, I wish I'd been able to catch up with you while you were up here.
When are you
because
coming
right,
down to visit?
I got to work on that. Everyone keeps yelling at me that I need to come down to Florida and visit. There's too many of my people in Florida. I do need to get down there. Unfortunately, I just found out yesterday that I'm getting laid off from my normal job, so I don't know when I'm going to be able to fly myself down there, but it will happen.
That's the normal job.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it pays my bills. Wrestling certainly doesn't. But it will happen. You and I will have
a wait a minute. You're
a
wrestler.
Reunion.
You make millions and millions of dollars, right?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
I feel like a secondary character here right now. Now,
hi, guys.
This is amazing. Welcome to the show.
You reunite me and I'll call her Angelina for the wrestling fans that are listening that probably know her better as Angelina. Although hysterically, I'm still in her phone as Lily.
Yes, you are.
You reunite me and Angelina together, and we could totally take over the show. You're gonna have to cut us off because we just won't stop.
Nah, go ahead. I'll just quit.
Well, I have another caller. I just want to interject that they want to talk as well. It's 215, so it's a little bit more local.
Stay on the line, ladies.
Okay. Now, caller 215.
Hey, just stay here in case I need backup.
State
okay.
your name and where you're calling from.
This is Brady from Philadelphia. I can't believe you would put me on when you have a knockout calling up.
No, put him back on hold. Forget him.
I'll put him on hold. I just want to listen.
He's the TNA guy. Do you have a question for Angelina?
Oh, wow. Way to put me on the spot. Angelina, how's everything going?
Everything is wonderful. Thank you.
We actually met probably last year. I'm friends with Nick and Stacy. I guess Nick or Stacy at this point.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. How are the bookings going independent wise?
Nick, aka Sin Bodhi, aka Kizarni, my best guy friend.
I love that guy.
Well, this is Toronto.
Yeah, he's good people.
The Toronto community. It's like very tight. All those wrestlers.
Yeah, and see, that's why I had to pose the question to Missy because I think I did dub her an honorary Canadian.
You absolutely did. I was dubbed honorary Canadian being dubbed honorary Canadian as a female wrestler by the Canadian female women wrestlers is like huge, because I actually name dropped you Thursday. I did a show called Blow in New Jersey. It was their first women's show.
Yes. Kevin Matthews wanted me to do that show, and I was like, you know.
I had such fun tweeting that I was going to New Jersey for Blow, as if I was making some big drug run. It was awesome. But there were two girls.
I did that. I thought it was hilarious.
I loved it. But there were two girls who came down from Canada. One of them's name is Jules Malone. And I said to her.
You know what? I have known her since the very, 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 very beginning of my indie days because she was like the only girl manager or any girl that was doing anything on the indies when I started because it was just the only girls that were doing anything were like either strippers or who were just there for, you know, whatever, or like girlfriends of the guys who were just managing on the show or something like that. And she was kind of only the other girl. So like her and I would always do shows together, both just as managers. But I know she's actually been training at Squared Circle in Toronto, which is where I trained at. And Taylor Wilde and Tracy and everybody. So yeah, we keep in touch on Facebook.
That's how I dropped her name. I said to her, because I'd never heard of her or the other girl that came down. And I called her over and I said, who trains you in Canada? I said, where do you train? And she goes, oh, I train at Squared Circle. I said, Fuego? And she goes, yeah. I literally yelled the whole locker room. I go, for the record, ladies, if you ever have to work a Canadian female who you are not familiar with, ask them where they trained. If they state they trained at Squared Circle with Rob Fuego, you're golden. And she kind of looked at me. And somebody goes, huh? And I go, all my favorite Canadian female workers trained up there. And they're like, who? And I'm like, Tracy Brooks, Angel Williams. Like, I was raffling off the Rob Fuego female trainees.
Yeah, Fuego was always great. Actually, I think he liked training the girls more than the guys because he would always just, like, he loved to teach us all the lucha stuff, you know what I mean, and teach us how to do things that girls weren't doing. And, you know, luckily for him, he had a decent set of athletic girls there at the time. And we probably talked back less, too. I'm not sure. But, yeah, like, I mean, when I trained up there, it was fun. Like, everybody in Toronto was wanting to train there. That was definitely the place to go. And then I would always just go hop across the border there to Buffalo and do those OSPW shows. And I was going to get you to tell them how, like, we were, like, PICs, Partners in Crime, yo.
We were in our little faction, which was awesome because I was in the Canadian faction. It was me, you, Sean Spears, and Eddie Osborne. And I was the only
– oh, my
like,
gosh.
We would, like, walk out carrying Canadian flags and stuff. I was American. I was the only American in the Canadian faction. It was awesome. I loved it.
That's why you're honorary.
See?
So I have a question. Angela, I love watching you on TNA. What? Just a simple question. What made you want to make the change and leave the company, do something else?
Well, I'm not going to keep talking about that. I did my one big, like, post-TNA interview with the Monday Night Mayhem guys.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure that's still available online to download. I don't usually, like, talk about this and that anymore. It was just my time.
I can answer that question.
Go ahead.
Because she's so multi-talented that wrestling for TNA, I mean, is a conflicting schedule because they shoot on off days. And now she's going to be this big, huge movie star.
Wow.
There we go. She needs to free up her space to shoot some movies so she could be some big, huge movie star.
I shoot for the stars, man.
Yeah, okay. That's a good opinion.
But, hey, I don't want to take away from Missy's interview. I just wanted to call in and surprise her and say I love you, girl.
I love you. And you did, and I am so unbelievably touched that you did. I love you, and I can't wait to see you. And,
God bless Twitter, huh? Who'd have thunk
it? Exactly. And I'll actually just call you to talk sometime soon.
Hell yeah. Lily? All right, do it, Luscious Lily.
I will, Angel Williams.
All right, thanks
I
for
love
having
you.
Me, guys.
Thank you so much for surprising me. That was awesome.
Miss Williams, thanks
right,
for
girl.
Calling in. We appreciate
Bye.
It.
Bye.
Yes.
Awesome. Wow.
I love that girl.
I had no idea there was even a connection there. And you're an honorary.
Oh, my friends are awesome. My friends are awesome, yeah.
Well, you know what? I posted the number because we're on a roll as far as people calling in. I was like, let's give it a shot, see who calls in. And I posted we were on the line with indie legend, wrestling Missy Samson. Boom. That was I'm glad that happened. That happened on the show.
When it popped up, because my computer's in front of me, when it popped up, I just retweeted it. And she must have, and she does follow me on Twitter, so she must have seen it. That was beyond cool of her to do. Yeah.
Good moment on the show.
And for the record, she's one of those people that, you know, I've known her, you know, I met her way back in the day before she got signed to anything. And, you know, she was signed to that deal in down in Florida for that when she had her WWE deal. And, you know, and then all the way through TNA. And we've stayed in touch. We've, you know, she's one of those people that I've stayed in touch with through both of those signings. Like, she's never really changed. Like, she's always who she is. That's her. That's just her. What she just did is just completely her.
That's really cool. It seemed really cool. Shot down my question, but that seemed really cool.
it was so funny. She's like, you know, when she was like, who's your favorite Canadian female wrestler? And I'm thinking to myself, I could get in trouble here.
Don't answer
the I was like, who is calling
from?
In? And then when she said she was from Florida, I'm like, which of the Canadian girls are in Florida? And she was the first one that popped into my head because I'm thinking 21st Century Fox still lives in Canada. I think Tracy Brooks lives in California. You know, I think Dania's still in Canada. Like, I'm thinking of all the Canadian girls that I worked with. She was the first one that popped in, but I was like, there's no way she just called into this radio show.
That's what I'm thinking. It's like, no, she called into us. Hell no. It's like I'm thinking of names. I'm like, who the hell lives in Florida? What the hell? Oh, yeah, TNA.
Yeah.
Wow. So,
yes, that was beyond cool.
Yeah. You know what? Thank you both for both being cool. You know, that was, I'm still, wow, this has been a weird show.
It has been. Weird in a good way, but Missy.
I have one more before you.
I wanted to go into Blow, but I
have no problem with Missy and Blow, so let me just ask a question. I have one more question, and it's one of those obligatory wrestling questions. What is the worst injury have you ever had an injury that kept you out of the ring for any amount of time, or have you been pretty clear so far?
No, I've had more injuries than you could probably count. At different times I've broken both. I've fractured both my knees. I've broken both my ankles. I broke my right hand in three places. I've cracked ribs. I've had a fractured nose. Things like that. Yeah. I mean, I've banged myself up pretty good.
What you guys do is amazing.
Now, speaking of Blow, PWS Blow, you're into the second round now.
I am. Which is even funnier because here's the backstory to that. Originally, I wasn't even booked on the show. They announced the show and I wasn't even booked on it. And the PWS men's show before that, I was brought in. I had met PWS is owned by a guy named Eric Tapout and Pat Buck. Yeah. And indie wrestler Kevin Matthews helps out a lot there. And I've known Kevin forever. He's like my big brother. And I was brought into the company by Kevin, on Kevin's word. I'd met Pat Buck like once or twice in passing. I'd never met Eric. Kevin had me brought in. They didn't have a lot of people that they could trust to like help out in the back and stuff. So Kevin said to me, why don't you come in, run the locker room? You know, run Gorilla, run the locker room for us. We'll pay you. And I was like, okay, you want to pay me to go to Raw Way and hang out with my friends and run
okay.
Gorilla? I can do that. And so it was the mail show before that I went and did that. And they were exceptionally happy with everything that I did. I had a great time. They were exceptionally awesome to work with and for. And then it was literally 2 days after I did that, Kevin called me the day after and said, you know, they loved you, you know, come do every show. You know, next month we have the girl show on Thursday, the guy show on Friday, come do it for both shows. You know, they'll pay you. I was like, awesome, I'm there. And then about 2 days after that, I got hit up by Eric Tapout, and he said, you know, we have the first round of the tournament, but I have this one non-tournament match I want to make a three-way with the two Canadian girls I was talking about, Jules Malone and Sylvie Silver. Do you want a spot in the three-way? And I said, all bless right. you. And I said, sure, I'll absolutely take the spot. And so, I got booked on the show in a non-tournament match, and then there were, you know, for whatever reason, different people ended up not being on the show, and he hit me up and he said, instead of really trying to fill all these spots, we're just going to break up that three-way and insert you guys into the tournament. So I got inserted into the tournament that way. And then I ended up winning my match, which advances me to the second round.
Now, the second round, that's Marty Bell, and that's going to be December 6th. And that's in Rahway, New Jersey, at the Rahway Recreation Center. Go ahead, Dan.
Correct.
No, I was just going to say I've been keeping track of Blow. Blow. No, I'm kidding. What do you have to say to people? There's a lot of people I see online that are making a big deal that the name is terrible and it's derogatory. What do you have to say to those people?
Who is it derogatory to, though? Because let me tell you, all the girls that worked that show that were in that locker room got a good laugh out of the name. Wrestling, for the people in it, wrestling is supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
And kudos to Pat and Eric for coming up with the name Blow and everybody getting up in arms about it, because whether you're up in arms about it or not, guess what? You're talking about it.
You're talking about it.
They obviously did something right. And the girls that we all thought it was meant to be like tongue-in-cheek. Like, it was meant to be kind of catchy, kind of funny. And they accomplished that. Like I said, none of the girls who worked the show – I don't care what you call it. You know, Annie Social probably had the best tweet about it. And she tweeted something of the fact of, yes, people, I'm working for a company named Blow. Relax. It's not like they named it Cunt Fuck Wrestling. I have a project coming up where I was talking to a buddy of mine, about what they were going to call the promotion or whatever. And he told me, and he's like, oh, it wasn't my choice. Da, da, da. And I was like, I don't care what you call the promotion. It doesn't matter to me. You could call it Dumb Whores and Tights. If you're paying me to work another wrestler and I think I'm going to have a good match and the money's worth it, I'm showing up to work. Like, why does everything have to be so serious?
I appreciate that, because it's like you guys are exactly as you said. They're talking about it and you're getting the word out. You fell for it. Bingo. And thank you for the bless you, by the way.
You're welcome.
Brady.
It doesn't make the match, you know, the fact that the company's called Blow doesn't make the matches any less entertaining. You know, I got to see some of the show on Thursday. I didn't get to see all of the matches. Unfortunately, I had my tooth knocked out. I was a little preoccupied, but...
Oh, I heard about that, yeah.
Yeah, it's fixed. I have a tooth now.
Is that talking like this?
Yeah. Well, I was for a while. It was for like 3 days until I could get to my dentist back here to get it fixed on Monday. But, you know, all the matches that I saw were phenomenal. The fans that I spoke to about the show said, you know, the show was great. They had a great time. So we did what we were supposed to do. And like I said, it doesn't matter what the name of the company is.
All right. Brady, are you still there with us?
I am. Absolutely.
Would you like to ask Missy Sampson a question?
Sure, yeah. I actually had called in for Missy, believe it or not. I hadn't called in for Angelina. That was a bonus.
Nice.
Missy, yes. what is it like as a female wrestler, to like, is there that ceiling, do you think, as far as like what women can achieve in this business?
Is there a ceiling? Yes and no.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
There's a ceiling because of the way that Vince and TNA use their women. And if you're looking at, you know, those two companies as the big companies that women should want to shoot to work for, then, yeah, there is a ceiling, only because, you know, those people don't know how to, in my opinion, use women wrestlers correctly. But it also depends on what the goal of that woman is. You know, wrestling is something I've wanted to do since I was a kid. So, you know, I'm never going to make it to TNA. I'm never going to make it to WWE, and I'm okay with that. You know, I had a dream as a kid, and regardless of whether I made it to either of the big two companies, I still get to say I'm a professional wrestler. I still lived out my dream. You know, I've wrestled all up and down the East Coast, you know, for dozens of companies. You know, I've signed autographs, I've sold pictures, you know, whatever. I've entertained people, so I've accomplished my goal.
Well, there you go. So, Missy.
Thanks for having that, yes. Brady.
Yeah, I mean, that was
thanks
a great question.
Thanks for calling
question.
In, Brady.
Yeah. But, stick around for a minute, Brady. I'll put you on hold. And,
stop driving
up, Brady.
In the ocean.
Yeah, stop driving and drinking and playing dodgeball,
what
whatever
he's
doing.
Doing.
I don't know what
driving
he's doing.
With the, he sounds like he's hanging out the window going,
A little bit. But, Missy, if people want to follow your career, if people want to, you know, keep up to date with you, where's the best place to do that?
Best place to do that is either on Facebook. You can look up Missy Sampson, or on Twitter, at Wrestling Missy is my Twitter handle. And those are probably the two easiest ways to keep in touch, see what's going on.
Yeah, apparently.
Okay, and you have the Flamingo Cup coming up. That's when is that? That's November. You said
November
it earlier.
10th. I actually have two shows coming up before that.
Oh, well, go ahead. Plug away.
November 2nd, I have ECWF at the Boys and Girls Club in Bethlehem, PA. Bell time is 7 p.m. It's a fundraiser for Donegan Elementary School, which is up in Bethlehem. It's a pretty poor school. So we're doing a wrestling show. All profits go directly to the school.
Yeah, Keiko was talking about it last week. Yeah,
right.
So.
Keiko actually organized the show.
Wow. Wow, I didn't know that, yeah.
Yeah, he won't put himself over, but I will. it was Keiko's idea, and Keiko is actually the one putting everything together.
Wow.
As a benefit for the school. It's up where he lives. So I'm doing that show, Bell Time 7. PWS has a huge show in Rahway, New Jersey, November 9th, which is the Friday before the Flamingo Cup. In Rahway. It's not a women's show. Their next women's show, like you said, is December 6th, but it's a huge men's show. I will be there. I won't be wrestling. I'll be running the back, but I'll still be there. You can always see me running around like an idiot. We got the Flamingo Cup November 10th in Reading. I've got CPW November 24th in Lewistown, PA. It's run by a guy named James Dillon. It'll be myself and Eddie Valentine against Cole Calloway and Kimberly.
Oh,
that's not James J. Dillon.
No.
Okay, gotcha.
and then literally from there, I'm riding out to Oil City to do a project taping. You can't buy tickets for it, so in Oil City for potential TV pilot the day after.
Wow.
And then I've got Blow December 6th, which is the second round of the tournament. I, like you said earlier, I drew Marty Bell. It's unfortunate they keep trying to make me beat up my friends, but I'll do it. It's fine. The pay's good. And then I'm back December 7th in Rahway for the next PWS mail show.
Wow. So you have a lot going on. You have pilots. You have shows. You got debuts. You got second rounds of tournaments. You got Flamingo Cups. You got a lot going on.
I'm a busy beaver.
Yeah. Well,
that's not what she meant, Dean.
We run a respectable program here.
I work for Blow, too. What do you want?
Very, very true. But if you want to, I'd say the best place to catch up with her would be the Twitter, and that is, of course, at Wrestling Missy. Missy, it was an absolute 100% pleasure to
Thanks
have
for
you.
Having me, guys. It was about time we got around to me.
Yeah, I mean, I asked
you. I've been asking for this for like 14 years.
Well, no, I initially asked you when I was on a different program. I was on a different podcast, and that's when I reached out. And then everything started, and finally, and I'm glad. And
let's just say that asshole didn't want to interview you because he's an asshole.
Well, yeah, and he didn't. But anyway, we got around to you. I'm thrilled with the results, and anytime, Missy.
Hey, just let me know. I'll come back anytime. You guys just let me know.
Awesome, awesome. It was a great episode, a great interview, and thank you so much.
You are very welcome, guys. Have a good night.
Okay, so everyone, that was Missy Sampson, independent legend, friends with everyone, it seems, in the business. I'm going to play out her theme one more time, and we'll be right back, guys. Well, guys.
Time to recover.
Yeah.
It's pretty boring from here on out.
Yeah, that's for sure. I can't top that.
No, I don't think I can either.
Yeah, I was going to.
All right, everybody, good night.
No, I was going to go into UFC, but the hell with that. I'm sorry. I know it's your spot, you know, not your dog spot, but.
Not your liver spot. Spot on your cutter in your back when you got to go see the dermatologist.
That's Niles Young's spot.
Ouch.
Now.
That was actually the second Horseman parody. Remember, there was two of them.
They didn't say anything about the dermatologist, though.
Yes, they did on the second one. I'm telling you. There was the original one that was on Nitro in 97. And then when that hideous NWO reunion, when it was the Wolfpack meeting up with Team Hollywood and they came back and they were doing the whole. It was before Hogan and Flair switched spots in Uncensored 99.
Yeah.
And they did one of those, I'll tell you, it's real quick. It was the week after David Flair turned on Ric Flair at Sold Out. Yes, I ordered this shit. And,
Dan, language.
What?
Language.
Really? Me?
Yeah, language.
Okay. All right. Anyway, I forget. Oh, they were going to interview Flair, and it faded out to this black and white vignette of the Horseman, and instead of just wearing a mat, I mean, Nash was done out in full Arn Anderson garb, came out with that, he had the beer thing again, and he said, you, my friend, have put me on the spot, and he does the dog spot, liver spot, and the spot on the cutter in your back when you gotta go see the dermatologist. Disco Inferno was Mean Gene. Hogan was Flair. It was pretty bad. Scott Hall was Hot Rod, Roddy Piper. It was bad.
You, describing it was it sounds terribly horrible.
It was horrible. Like there was no way.
I'm glad we relived it through your eyes. I think he just muted me.
No, I just I'm trying to still wrap around why me saying shit was bad. She said the cunt word.
Keep it up. That's great.
I'm gonna now.
Dan.
Sorry.
Now I have to edit the episode.
Yeah, I was going to say, because the more I curse, the later he has to stay up and edit this stuff.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Like he's pissing me off, Dean. Are you going to ask a question, or?
What's that?
So, Brady.
He hung up.
Oh, thank God.
He was probably disgusted with your potty mouth.
Yeah, probably not.
Anyway, check out NMRWrestling.com.
Factory.org.
ECWAProWrestling.com. SideshowPro.com.
CZWrestling.com.
TheBradyHicks.com. UFC.com. To find out more that we didn't have a chance to go over. bedofnails.com/bombshells.html will get you to the Blow website.
I'll say this, the CCW, the Sideshow Pro website is actually a really good website.
It is. No,
very
it is.
Well put together. It's got downloads. I don't know any other indie wrestling site that's got wallpaper.
Very true. WorldProfessionalWrestling.com. That's, of course, where Missy Sampson is the heavyweight champion.
Another good website.
And TVByDemand.com. No comment. That is TWF's website. And, you know, check it out to keep in touch with what's going on with all the promotions we went over tonight.
I just like how Xerox's weight is 100 paperweights. genius, man.
Xerox, the door-to-door luchador. If you haven't checked them out yet.
Derp to derp.
Now, next week, Dan, it's the return of the French Interruption Part Trois. That's with Monsieur Oulala. As we go through his career, we got up to the point where he just got into ECWA.
Never
of course. What?
Nothing.
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay.
Also, DWF and B-Star Johnny Hated. Johnny Ooh. Hated will be on the show with us as well. Plus a special preview of NMR Wrestling, the return, the rebirth.
And don't forget, next Saturday, we have the live preview of NMR Wrestling.
Yeah, but we're going to
just I'm going over all of our events coming up.
Yeah, we had a very busy October.
Come meet me. Not Dean so much. Come meet me.
I won't curse at you. Like, damn.
I won't curse at you. I'll just curse at Dean for you.
That's for sure.
It's easy to want to curse at him. I'm a likable fella.
Oh, you're so likable.
Yeah, fine, I leave. Forget it.
Girls, you're both pretty.
Thank you. That was so sweet.
Now, Omega, do you have anything in the wrestling world you want to talk about? Kofi Kingston, Intercontinental Champion? How do we feel about that?
I'm fine with Kofi being Intercontinental Champion. I'm not sure whether I should be appalled or silently gleeful that he kicked Miz in the face.
I wanted to bring that up. I mean, did you see it?
Yeah.
Oh, man, he nailed him. I mean,
yeah,
he nailed him good. I saw it just before we actually did the pre-call. Kelly had a main event on. We DVR it and started late, and she's like, oh, you need to see this. And it just, in slow motion, it's like, okay, thank you very much. I mean, he nailed him. He didn't even, did not see that coming.
It was pretty hard.
Yes, thank you for kicking Miz in the face and knocking him out. I was happy.
So, new champion is Kofi. He won it Tuesday, I guess, and now it was shown tonight on the main event, or whatever they call it, main event, whatever. Did you have something else, Dan?
I just wanted to ask you guys, this is the fourth, fifth, maybe sixth consistent week of a very low rating. I mean, what are they going to do next? Are they going to stick by this 3-hour stupid crap? Are they going to cut it? Like, what do you think they got to do? Or do you think that there's nothing they can do and just ride this out?
I'll ride it out, and they're trying to elevate stars. Unfortunately, they picked Ryback to be the first project. But they're trying something.
And the idiot decided to say he was better than Goldberg. Like, why would you want to piss him off?
I don't know. I mean, I think they're going to ride it out. Unfortunately, I think that's what the USA Network wants. They want 3 hours. And they're just going to ride it out. But it doesn't, 2.0, is that better than an NCIS rerun at 8 o'clock?
Yeah.
I mean, from a ratings perspective, from an advertising perspective, I don't know.
It's got to be close.
I mean, it got to be better demographics, I would think.
Oh, yeah, the demographics.
Maybe that's what, and I'm sure that's what's driving this. They need to do, I don't know, I haven't watched it in like 2 weeks.
You didn't miss anything.
And I don't feel compelled to go back. I don't really, you know. I guess that's the thing. Nobody feels compelled to go that with everything else that's on TV on Monday nights.
I would agree. Now, Omega, I wanted to bring up something.
You read your phone too, Dean?
Well, this fired you up during the week. John Jones, Chael Sonnen, they are now going to be the next Ultimate Fighter coaches. And a title shot. And a title shot to Chael Sonnen once it's all said and done in April. How do you feel?
I think he just said,
I'm gonna say it, Dean, and you can edit it out later. It's bullshit. It's what it is.
God damn it.
No, it's crap. It's utter crap that Chael Sonnen's getting a title shot. This is a light heavyweight championship of the world. Chael Sonnen hasn't fought light heavyweight in years.
Yeah.
He's coming off a loss. Why does he get his title shot?
Why?
Makes absolutely no sense.
Dan Henderson was upset about it as well. Check off the Dan Henderson reference.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. Well, there's at least four. There's four other credible contenders to the light heavyweight title, in my opinion. There's Lyoto Machida.
Yeah.
There's Dan Henderson. There's Glover Teixeira, and there's Alexander Gustafsson. And there's probably five if you throw in Anderson Silva, which I think that fight has to happen sooner rather than later too. John Jones versus Anderson Silva. Why Sonnen? You know, I know the reason. They're hot-shotting Sonnen into this to try to get ratings for the Ultimate Fighter and hoping the trash talk carries a pay-per-view. My opinion on that is you're just damaging the light heavyweight title. You know, what you've set up is two light heavyweight title fights in a row that have not had people who would be considered number one contenders.
Agreed. Yeah, agreed with that. Now, I think on the flip side of this, when people actually get to see John Jones, more of him, outside of the octagon, they're going to see his full arrogance on display. And I think any fans that are left after his drunk driving incident, if he has any fans left, well, apparently he does. People were cheering and whatnot the last time he was out there. But I think this is really going to alienate what's left of him.
It depends. It depends on how he's edited. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on how they decide to make that. Is he the villain or is Chael? Chael's the natural villain in this case.
Yeah,
I gotta think. So I mean, that's why you know, I'm sure that's why Chael's there. Chael's there to stir the pot, to make ridiculous statements and that he can't back up once he actually gets in the cage. You know,
sadly that is the truth.
Yeah, I don't know. I hate it. I hate it with the I hate it with
fire
of a thousand suns. You know, we want this to be a sport. I like pro wrestling. I love pro wrestling. I don't want MMA to be pro wrestling.
So you think they're just going for the spectacle aspect, a good talker, but not so much can't, like you said, back it up? And you feel that this is just something to get a quick pop in the ratings, so to say.
Yes. You know, when this was the fight to save UFC 151, I was fine with it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm fine with that. You know, you got a week to keep a card going. Okay, throw Chael in there. I'm fine with that. No problem. When we have to wait 6 months, You have to tell me that you can't find anybody who can prepare in 6 months other than Chael Sonnen to give a title shot. I would be less perturbed about this if it wasn't for the title.
If it was just a
super fight or coach's fight, throw it on Fox, and be done with it. I would be all right with that, I guess. You know, I still wouldn't want to see it because that would be two fights in a row for John Jones. It doesn't have a credible challenger.
Well, here's another thing. Dan Henderson was the number one contender before all this happened. What happens to his shot? Is this just Dana White screwing him over again?
It's you know, I did see an article today that kind of said that basically said that this is not so much Henderson. It's Henderson's punishment for not telling Dana White sooner. It's Machida's punishment for not taking the fight after 151. And, you know, I guess – I don't know what and I guess for Glover Teixeira and Alexander Gustafsson, they're just not having their names built up enough yet to make a good card. It's if that's the case, it's petty.
Yeah.
And it's a very Vince McMahon way of doing business.
Well, and that's the thing, but Dana White does hold grudges, and of course he and Dan Henderson have had a very volatile relationship through the years.
Yeah.
Dan who? It's...
Henderson.
Yeah. Another reference. It's just from...
Yeah. It's just yeah, I don't know. I really dislike everything about this. I mean, tough is kind of over. I'm over tough. It's not. The ratings are showing that we've kind of had tough overload. It's tired. It's tired as a concept. The fighters aren't that good coming through that way anymore. It's just not. It's not a good thing, and it's not a good thing to be throwing your title holders in there with guys who can't be credible just for the sake of trying to pop a buy rate.
And it's going to be a first round TKO or something like that, unless Chael can keep them down. But I think we covered it enough. Not a good thing. Nope. In total agreement.
Hate it. Loathe it.
What?
Hate it. Loathe it.
Oh, I sorry.
Despise it.
I had you.
Other words for hate.
Despise, loathe. That's pretty good.
Dan, do you have anything else?
No, I just... You guys just have to edit.
Yes, I do. And until next week, of course, the French Interruption Part 3.
Follow me, Dan Lowe 83. Folsom County.
And?
Omega Squad.
That's right. We'll see you next week.
There's a reason why they say not to do this at home.
The body.